B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on a Tuesday, and it's a day when the Sixers can clinch the number one seed, but it wouldn't matter if they lost. What did I mean, you know, this is an inevitable result, so whether it happens tonight or whether it happens next night or the night after that, they're going to get the number one seed. It's an inevitable result. So the thinking is not so much they're going to get the number one seed. The thinking is when you look at the road to the championship, what could possibly happen? And we talked about it yesterday, and I was listening to Anthony's show earlier, and he was saying that he thought the West was better than the East. So when they get in the finals, they're going to face a very formidable foe. But I don't look at it that way. Here's why. I think their main competition still is the Nets, because the Sixers' strength is how they can defend. So if you're talking about them facing a team in the West, and the three teams that it could be the Lakers, it could be the Clippers, or it could be the Jazz. Now, we've seen them play the Jazz, right? The Suns, maybe, I'm not so sure they're ready to make that leap. But if you want to include the Suns, that's fine. But in every case in the West, I believe the Sixers defense can handle their best option. With the Nets, it's a little different. You can handle one of the options. I don't know if you can handle all three of the options. So I think that if they got to the NBA final, I don't know how Vegas would look at it. But you know, we've seen Utah. There's no way Gobert handles Embiid, especially if Embiid brings him out, which you saw the last time that happened. They smoked the Jazz. And Donovan Mitchell could be handled, I believe, by Ben Simmons. If you look at the Lakers and the Clippers, you know, I think the Sixers can defend both of those teams. Now, they don't have the firepower that, you know, the Clippers have Paul George, and they have obviously Kawhi. But I think that team could be easier to defend than the Nets would be. So the number one seed is a monster get, and it's going to happen. And I think that the enthusiasm for these playoffs, where the Sixers have a real realistic shot to win a championship, all comes down to one thing, and I don't want to make this a Ben show anymore, but against the Nets, Ben is going to have to contribute more offensively. I think we can all agree on that, right? Maybe he doesn't have to contribute more offensively against the Western team. I don't know. He probably does, but certainly he has to score against the Nets. And so when the playoffs start, that's the one thing I'm looking for. Can he contribute more offensively than he does? And if he does, like if he comes out of the game, he gets on one of these runs where he's ultra aggressive, he's 18-20 every game, then I've got very little worries that the Sixers can win an NBA championship. Now, am I getting ahead of myself here?
No, you're not. You're not getting ahead of yourself. The Sixers can put themselves in a position, realistically, to win a championship, if that's what you mean.
Yes.
No, you're not putting...
Because the West... Are you afraid of the Western teams? Like the Sixers... Do you think the Sixers would not win a seven-game series against... Is there one team you go, nah, they can't against?
No, there's no team, but they would be underdogs against. They would be underdogs against the Jazz. They would be underdogs against the Clippers. They would be underdogs against the Lakers. And they would be underdogs in... Most likely unless they handled the Nets.
Did they beat underdogs against Phoenix?
Yep. Because Phoenix beat them twice this year. Phoenix beat them twice this year. So I think if it got to that point with Chris Paul and with Booker, I think they would be underdog. Now, I think they would beat the Suns. I think the Sixers can win the title this year. I truly believe the Sixers can win the title this year. The reason I think the enthusiasm is we haven't seen it yet. But the tough part about that is you don't know that when a first-time champion's emerging, you don't know until you know. Like, I hate to say it like that, but you don't know until you know. Even if you're talking about a dynasty, people didn't know Jordan was going to be able to win titles until Jordan won a title. Because there used to be people who didn't think Michael Jordan could win. People didn't think LeBron could win. That's the tough part, is being able to project. I think this team, because Embiid is as good as any player in this league, he has ascended. Once you have a player that's as good as anybody, you can now win the whole thing. I think they can win the whole thing, and getting the one seed is huge. And I also like to point out that last night it was proven that anybody can beat anybody. Those Bucks got smoked last night. The same team, oh, how come the Sixers only beat them by? Yeah, they beat them. The Spurs smoked that Bucks team. So I just want a record. Like, you know, people, oh, how did the Sixers only win by? Yeah, they smoked the Bucks, that same Spurs team that the Sixers, quote, only beat by. But anyway, yes, I think it's realistic. I'm starting to look that way because the one seed's locked down. I'm excited.
All right, so there's where we stand.
I think that's fair.
We're in an exciting period of just like anticipation. It's like, just wait for the moment. The moment can't get here fast enough for me. I mean, even the lower rounds, you know, we're going to be engaged, no question, because it's playoff basketball. But I just don't see the Sixers losing to the two teams they have to play before they get to the Eastern Conference Final, and I just can't wait for it.
It's exciting, and then unfortunately, Jaylen Brown gets hurt. Boston's a possible first-round matchup. Now, they, even though the Sixers handled them all year, they would even be in a more weakened state if the Sixers were to play them. Further cementing, I didn't think any of those teams would be a threat, but now Boston was the one, I guess, who was the, quote, most scary you could possibly play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're not scary because Smart can't shoot at all anymore. His defense, I don't know what's wrong with him. And now Jaylen Brown's out. It's Tatum and the Pips anymore, and the Pips aren't going to be able to get it done. Sixers sweep them. Sixers sweep the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be a nice sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in such a state of limbo. I feel like I'm bobbing on top of a lake with one of those big fat inner tubes around me. I'm just kind of bobbing, and I'm staying there. I can't get to the shore. I can't, like, I'm in the middle of it. I'm just bobbing, and I'm waiting for like a wind to blow or something. It's a weird spot I'm in here.
Well,
the Eagles are out of sight, out of mind. The Flyers finally. All right, Hey, they got the two points to end the season last night, but they're out.
They're out now.
They're out. So our focus is on the Phillies, and that season goes on forever, and we overreact to early games, and the Sixers are right here. They're right there for us.
They are. They are. And I think that all the enthusiasm is coming. I think there are some fans out there that want them to lock it down before they can open the champagne. So win tonight, and I think tomorrow, I know there are people still reticent about the Sixers. And they're going to remain reticent until they see it.
Okay, that's great, because that's what I want to talk about today. The reticent people, like, take yourself away from being a fan who lives and dies, and you get your emotions, and you're afraid you get your heart broken. Take yourself out of that if you can, and remove yourself from society, and then look in on the sports world, and tell me exactly why you are so reticent. You know, can they beat the Nets? We'll see. I don't know, but like, if they beat the Nets, I really think that the path is an NBA championship. I mean, that's the only hurdle that I see. And so I don't know why people, why are you reticent? You're not reticent about the first two rounds, are you? Because the Sixers, the one thing they have proven is when they play bad teams, they're a better team. And they're not going to slip and lose to a lesser team. They're not that type of team that's going to collapse. They have too many veteran players for them to collapse like that and lose their way like we've seen in the past. And the competition they're going to be playing is so weakened in the first two rounds that, you know, it was an achievement when they beat the Miami Heat a couple years ago. But beating them this year is like, they're better.
I feel like it's one of those things where, you know, as we're on the precipice of a potentially really deep run, it's like you said, that old mindset comes back where it's like, we don't want to get excited. But when was the last time this is, and I feel like for a lot of Sixers fans, it's, this has been going on.
Feedback,
yeah, I don't know what that is. You know, this
I guess
is
you be, turn your headphones down a little bit.
Do you have headphones down?
Yeah. How are we now? All right. Better? Oh, no. I was going to say, I feel like it's just, this is like kind of could potentially be a culmination of the process. So it's like 10 years in the making, which is why. It's like a lot of anticipation built up over 10 years. It's not just like one season after another. It's like, is this the end of the process? Because people don't necessarily know when that is, but the consensus is it's a championship.
I don't know. I think you got to look at it realistically here. I always try to look at things realistically. Like, being reticent about this team not getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, which I hear a lot, is foolish, I think. It's illogical. Now, if you can make the case that they can't defend three guys who can make a shot at any time, that's logical, except they're just getting back together. By that time, they're just getting back together. Like, you don't know what Harden is at this point coming off an injury. So, like, you can't even count that they have three that are going to bury you. And plus, they're going to have to get through Milwaukee. So, I don't know. I just I don't have any reticence at all. Now, if they lose to the Nets, and the Nets, those three guys are lights out and they're playing like all-stars like they are, then maybe. But I think the Sixers are really in a great spot right now.
I agree. I think they're in a great spot. And I think that it's time for people to, I think there's a bit of cowardly. There's some cowardly lions out there. And I feel comfortable saying that. We've become so scared to commit. And it's and for the younger fans, I'm not talking about the old school. Old school fans have been burned. We talked about it. But there's some, a lot of the Sixers fans are a younger crowd. They have not felt any real pain. Think about how the pain that before 83, if you read about it, the pain of losing in the finals and losing to the Celtics with a 3-run lead and different kind of pain that they have. We don't have any of that pain. We don't have any of that pain, younger Sixers fans, yet they have that fear. I got to kind of call some of them out there a little bit cowardly.
I want to get into today. I want to talk to the people that are very reticent. Now, here's the things that could go wrong. All right, it's the Ben is the major factor. We all know that. If Ben doesn't up the offensive game, they could be in trouble against the Nets. Or if Seth Curry doesn't make shots or Danny Green doesn't make shots, those are the things that can derail you against a team that is going to score. So, I don't know. What else is illogical about that? If they lose to the Nets and they lost because the Nets were a better team, and to me, that's I can live with that.
So could I.
Nets were better. You know, so what are you afraid of? The only thing you could be possibly afraid of is that the Nets are better, and you have no control over that.
Right. You're absolutely right. And I think that I do, and it's not that I'm trying to call people out. It's that with outsiders in this show, I hear it all year long, people who are afraid to commit.
Yeah,
people are one foot in, one foot out.
What do you gain by not being afraid to commit? Really, what do you gain by that? What, you protect yourself somehow? You're still going to be disappointed if they lose. You're not really protecting yourself from anything. If they lose, they lose. You're going to be disappointed. So face up to it. But you can't be afraid to lose. All right, let's talk about it. Let's get the people out, the conversation. It's all Sixers, man. Right now, the Sixers own the town. This is the conversation. 610-632-0975. And of course, we'll talk some Phillies baseball today and this rumor that the Phillies could trade for Chris Bryant. I like Chris Bryant. I think he would add a lot to the lineup. But I don't think it only works for me if you're going to move Hoskins. He can't play center field. So, like, if you're going to, it would have to be a two-part move for them to acquire. And I wouldn't be against it. If they acquire Chris Bryant playing for the third base and move Bohm to first, I think they'd be a better team. But they would still have the center field problem.
Well, he's playing center field for the Cubs three times last week.
But the Cubs are like, they don't have nowhere else to put him. He can't play regular center field. That dude, he's too big. He hasn't played center field. He played three times this year, but he doesn't have the talent to play center field.
Better than what you got.
Nah, he would kill you in center field.
You can't put
a guy like that in center field. He wouldn't get into anything. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll have Matt Breen on to discuss that. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. 610-632-0975, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2 o'clock, hour, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, 610-622-0975. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson, HVAC, Lyon, Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's county locations, Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Let's start our Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer and Sons brings us the Twitter poll. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, isn't it better to get it from somebody who could give you old-fashioned customer service? You buy something in a box, you don't know what it is. Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, check it out. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie Agadoff with the Twitter poll.
All righty, Mike. With the Sixers about to clinch the one seed, how confident are you they'll make a finals run? 61% are confident, 30% are somewhat confident, 9% are not confident at all.
All righty. 9% are not confident at all.
Yes.
What have you been watching something different than me? What are you watching? A comfortable world to do what? Get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, we said to the finals.
Oh, to the finals. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. That's 9% too many.
Yeah, I don't understand the no confidence at all, especially when you haven't seen the Nets perform at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And I think some people, they wanted the Sixers to get the one seed, and now that they're getting it, I think they're devaluing the one seed. Oh, now it doesn't matter. But it would have mattered if they weren't.
Yeah, okay. Let's get to the phones. Let's flesh this out with the people and go Glenn on a cell. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Glenn.
Gentlemen and lady, good afternoon.
What's up, Glenn?
You, both of you, you guys summed it up perfectly for me. Both of you. Mike, you guys, when you ask me to step out of myself and just look at it as it is organically, I go, I don't see any problem. We can get to the final. We can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm not afraid of anybody in the West. However, I'm one of those old heads, and I'm wait and see right now. And I'm going to enjoy the wait and see. It's a whole new ball game. It's the playoffs. You summed it up perfectly. There's never going to be a night in the Nets when all three of those guys are going to be off. Someone's going to be clicking. The caveat is, offensively, if we're not, it's okay because the Nets don't play a lot of defense. So I think what I'm saying and what we're talking about right now is matchup. It depends on going forward, the road, the path to the finals. Who do we match up with best? Who matches up best with us? And can we beat them in a series? That's where I am. So, no, I'm not afraid. I'm not reticent. I'm an old head that thinks we're no longer in the bubble. It's the real NBA now. And we got a shot. That's where I am.
But, and you're looking at it logically. There could be no possible way that they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, let's be realistic about this. Look at the teams they're going to have to beat. What team is going to beat them four times to prevent them from going to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I don't see it.
it's a different year. Like, I took an email from him. Well, don't you remember Toronto? That was different. That was a different, first of all, it was a different route that they had to take. And secondly, Toronto proved to be better. This is a different year now. This team has rolled along here against the inferior competition. They're no longer a team that's going to lose to inferior competition four times.
Well, barring a catastrophe, which of course is an injury, I don't see anybody beating us four times. And of course, you said what the weak link is and could be. We're all concerned about Ben. I'm wondering, what is Doc prepared for? Because the other coaches are preparing. They have been preparing. The playoffs are going to be a different look. This is going to come down to X's and O's, guys. But I'm here for it. Let's go. Let's get it on. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, let's get on. And you raised the people think we pick on Ben. That's the only thing that can derail him. If he doesn't contribute more offensively, then you're counting on Danny Green and Seth Curry to deliver every game. Well, and that's why I look at this guy critically. He's got to be more aggressive offensively because you can't count on those two guys. They're nice players. They're going to make some shots, but they're not going to give you a consistent 18 a game.
Let me ask you, Tyrone, Mike, all your question. If who do you think would be the surprise to step up? And you'd be like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. But you'd be like, I'm not surprised. You know what I'm saying? Who do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody unless he's playing Maxi in the playoffs, and Maxi gives him that kind of energy. But I don't see anybody surprising. It's the guys that you count on are going to have to deliver.
Gentlemen, Natalie, enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, you got it. So, Maxi might see minutes. He might see minutes early and then play his way into something. He gives them a little energy, gives them something different.
Yeah, I do think Thybul would be capable of surprising because Thybul's going to play for sure. If he made shots, because I don't think his stroke is broken. If he made open threes because other guys are getting doubled and triple teamed.
You think it's going to happen?
I think he could possibly make open shots. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, I could see him possibly making open shots.
See where they're going to take the wrapper off, and that's going to all of a sudden happen. I mean, that might happen eventually. I don't think it's going to happen this soon in the playoffs.
Because I can't bet on Maxi playing. But every winner, every champion has a surprise. The caller's right.
Yeah.
But it's a surprise because you don't know.
But he's
coming.
Got no offensive game, so I don't see any surprise that he's going to unveil an offensive game.
Yeah, I think he can make threes. Open threes.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that. All right, let's go Spider in South Philly. Spider, you're on 97.5 at Fanatic. Spider? What's up, Spider? All right, you got to call us back because we lost your line. Phil in the Northeast, what's up, Phil?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, Phil?
I'm kind of in agreement with you guys. I mean, we should make it to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Nets. The Nets are the only team that can really give us any kind of issue. And it's only because we don't have enough scoring to match up with them. Like, Joe could average 40 that series. But Tobias is not going to average 25 over KD. And Ben basically guards himself as far as, putting up points. So if we can, so now we're banking on chemistry issues and health to derail the Nets. And those are three elite scorers who've shown that they could, figure it out. Because by the time we play them, it'll be like, 10 games in for them?
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably figure it out before they get to us. And if they do, then we're in trouble.
They're going to figure it out. Like how? Like all of a sudden they're just going to come back from behind the curtain and figure it out? Like I don't think you can count on that either.
They got 10 games to figure it out before these.
That's not enough. That's not enough.
Right,
coming down the stretch, 10 games, not enough.
Nah, I don't know about that. But, I mean, other than them, it's a clean slate to the chip.
Because these 10 games aren't going to be highly competitive that they're going to play, right? So you still wouldn't know.
Well, the first round, no, but the round against the Bucks will be.
No, I thought you were talking about the regular season.
No, 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 I'm talking about playoffs. There's 10 playoff games to figure it out.
All right,
by the time they get to us.
All right.
If they figure it out, then it's a wrap.
I got you. All right, man. I'm looking at the standings right now. With Jaylen Brown out, I think the Celtics will go down to the Wizards. I think the Wizards will beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
So that means the Nets will play the Wizards in the first round.
Yeah, and the Nets would win, but the Wiz, because of Westbrook and Beal, they get at least a game, if not two.
Right, and I think the Pacers will beat the Hornets.
Okay, well, the Sixers would sweep either one.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
So the Sixers, Pacers, Nets, Wizards, Bucks, Heat.
Yeah. The Heat would win. See, people think the Heat are the bubble Heat. They're not. But the Bucks would beat them. The Heat, I'd give them a game or two, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They would have they would probably play the toughest. So I can give them two, but they have no chance of actually beating the Bucks. But I can give them two games.
Right.
And then I don't care what happens between Atlanta and Knicks. This Knicks thing, I'm not sweating at all.
Right. So then the Sixers hit for your Pacers, Knicks or Hawks.
Yeah.
Now, nobody can make the case that they could lose four games.
No.
I mean,
I give the Knicks two games, let's say.
Yeah.
They beat the Knicks in six. Okay. I think it'd probably be five, but I'm saying let's give the Knicks, because Tibbs, they play hard. Sixers would go through playing 10 games in the first two rounds, and then the other team was probably going to play, if it was the Bucks, for example, they play six and then seven, and then the Nets, it would be at least five, and so they play 12. So the Sixers would have less games and less strenuous games in comparison waiting for them in the conference finals, whoever that team.
I'll tell you this, though. If they lost a couple games, either the Knicks or the Pacers, this town would be freaked out. Well, just based on a loss to those teams.
They probably would, but you're not going to just sweep everybody. You have these guys get in the playoffs. You're going to have a cold shooting night. It's hard to do 4-4-4.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard.
Unless you're a super team.
Yeah, and they're not a super team. So I don't think they're going to just sweep everybody. You're not going to sweep the first two rounds. But I tell you what, if they did, oh boy, that the hype train would be higher than the Comcast Center.
Yeah.
If they swept both of them.
They could very possibly sweep both of those teams.
They could. I'm trying to give the other team some credit for playing hard or the Sixers having an off night. But they could.
All right, let's go to Spider's back with us. What's up, Spider?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You know, just enjoying my day.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all already know how I feel. I'm only scared of a healthy Brooklyn team. I heard Tyrone talking about people are afraid, and that's the only team I'm actually afraid of is a healthy Brooklyn team. If they got two of their big three, I believe we can take them. And even with Ben Simmons' scoring deficiencies, I just think our team is put together well enough, and I'm only accepting a loss from a healthy Brooklyn team. Other than that, I don't fear nobody.
Yeah, and if they did lose that way,
no problem. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, if they did lose that way, you go, all right, well, they couldn't beat those big three. Well, like, from the start of the year, we thought that could possibly happen, that the Nets could win the East with those three. So it wouldn't be that much of a shock.
No, yeah, and that's the only way I'm accepting it. Other than that, man, the season is a failure in my eyes. Because I don't think that Milwaukee has enough for us, and no other team in the East I'm even thinking about. So,
yeah, this is a year where you can pretty much say that no team is capable of beating them four games in the first two rounds.
Right, and I'm with you on that, man. So all the people out there, we just got to hope that Brooklyn is not full strength and that Ben Simmons tries his best to score 20 a night.
There you go.
If we can do that. I see you on Wall Street, baby.
and that's the whole thing. I mean, I hate the people get mad when you always put it on Ben's shoulders. But look at it logically. He's got to deliver more offensively, or you know, it's simple.
Yeah, we need at least 20 points from him every night.
Maybe not 20, but aggression. Get to the line, make some free throw, like a different Ben, not a non-passive offensive Ben.
Right, keep passing the ball every time. You scared to shoot a 10-footer, 15-footer. Just shoot it, bro.
And I don't want to see him getting to the basket and then all of a sudden getting tied up in the air and flipping it back. That Ben, I don't want to see.
Like, his form is bad. He has a good form when he shoots his jump shots. He has a good-looking form. It's not ugly. I've seen ugly jump shots.
Yeah, so I agree.
I got faith in Ben. I just wish
you
man
just got to soften your hands up a little bit, man. When you get there to the 10-foot, just soften your hands. Those guys, they drop those little floaters, the 10-footer floaters. They just soften their hands.
I just get mad when I watch other team centers and power forwards shooting jump shots. And I got this guy in my team that I know can make the shot. All I got to do is just take it. I know he can make it, man.
I
watched him make too many in practice and everything like that. And you don't practice for nothing.
All right, Spider.
Stay blessed.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Stay blessed. I like it. I think everybody should say stay blessed. I like it. Because I want to stay blessed.
I love that saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good saying.
I like the athletes, too, that go, that's a blessing.
It is.
What is?
Yeah.
I use blessing a lot,
I feel about
too.
That. It's a blessing.
Blessed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot more than people using vibes. It's too much vibes out there.
Oh, I like vibes too.
It's too many vibes. Can't be just vibes.
Well, no, like good vibes.
Yeah, but it's just too much.
Good vibes and blessings.
Bill in Marlton. Bill, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Bill.
How you doing?
Hello, Bill. How you doing?
Back in the day, I was at Tyrone's principal at Penn Salkin High School.
Oh! Principal Bill?
Oh, Mr. Clark. How are you, Mr. Clark?
I'm doing well, and I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're doing well, and your knowledge and your great voice to hear it on the radio, congratulations to you.
Thank you. That's awesome, Principal Bill. You got any Tyrone tales? Any trouble spots there at Penn Salkin High?
Well, Tyrone was a good guy, never any problems, and he could talk the talk back in those days.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did the teachers ever complain about him? Was he ever obstinate in class or anything?
No. Nobody ever wrote Tyrone up.
Okay. He's good. You ever got written up once?
No, not in high school. No, I was.
If he did, it never came to my level.
That's because Stevie J was in, hovering. That's why.
Of course, Tyrone, you know that the vice president of Knicks is a Penn Salkin guy, William Wesley.
Yes, I do.
Worldwide West went to Penn Salkin High.
Yep,
he did.
Yeah, he and I communicate on a. He's a great guy. He knows his stuff too.
He's a power broker.
A lot of power brokers came out of Penn Salkin.
Look at that.
Power broker school.
That's good stuff.
And I feel optimistic about the Sixers. I think they're going to win the finals in seven. They're going to come through. I think their coaching and their rotation will be good. I'm not a basketball aficionado, but I think this is their year. I think if they don't get to the finals, it's a disappointment. But I think they're going to get there, and I think they'll win it in seven. They'll go seven games, and they'll win it.
Awesome. Thanks for checking in, Principal.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike, I'm a Penn Stater also.
Well, then you got, that's the Penn Salkin made a wise hire when you got over there.
I'm looking for a whiteout this year, you know what I mean? Fine, with the fans back in there. And,
yeah, I'm looking for a team that can win something. I've had enough whiteouts at this stage of my life. I'd like to see a Final Four. Bill.
Are you tired of losing to Ohio State and getting...
I'm tired of losing to a lot of people.
Yeah, I got you. You're right. Okay, I just wanted to give a shout-out. Good luck, guys, and congratulations, Tyrone.
All right, Bill. Thank you. Jay. How about that? You're principal, man.
Yeah.
Calling it.
Yeah.
Good guy?
Yeah, he was a good guy. My dad and him had run-ins
really?
Three different times over graduation tickets.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah, he was in charge of the graduation.
Oh, man.
And you can't let
gave me that info.
Well, I'm not doing that, Wally. Come on. Yeah. He called in to be cordial. Yeah, so.
Give me.
Happened three different times. Uh-huh. So you only get a certain amount for graduation. I'm the oldest, and then it happened 2 years later with my brother, then 2 years later with my sister. Uh-huh. So the first time, he's trying to get extra tickets because everybody wants to go because it's a big deal.
Right.
Even though it's not, it's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
So Clark was not letting, because the way he looked at it, if he starts letting other people get these extra tickets, then what happens? Everybody's going to want extra tickets. There won't be enough. There's not enough seating for everybody.
Right.
But my dad wasn't trying to hear that. He was going to get the extra seats, and he also wanted extra rain seats. See, it's outside. It moved to the indoor gym.
Yeah.
If in the event of rain.
Yeah.
He also wanted extra rain tickets as well. So he wanted both. So they got into it the first time. That was mild. The next time, 2 years later, happens with my brother now, graduate. He goes, now we've been through this before, Clark. I need these tickets. So he gets into it with these tickets again to get it. No rain, no issue, because there's more wiggle room outside than inside.
Yeah.
2 years later, all right, now, we done talked about this before. We're going to get these tickets. Sure enough, for my sisters, it does rain. And sure enough, we're in there. I got cousins, extended family, other people standing outside. Meanwhile, I looked out this whole row of bleachers. It's my whole family. Somehow my dad got enough rain tickets for everybody. But it took three different stages going back and forth.
So wait, Clark denied him?
Denied him.
Denied him three times.
Two times.
Two times.
The third time was the charm, though. And then that was the first time I actually needed him. Yeah. Because the first time, the second one was the funniest stuff. We done been through this before, Clark. I need these tickets for my family. I was like, what is happening right now? To get these graduation
just named them.
Yeah, we'd have been through this before. But other than that, my dad with that, Mr. Clark was always fantastic. But yeah, the graduation tickets were...
So what did your dad, after Clark had to turn him down, the second time for your brother, like, how did Mr. Clark handle that turn down?
I think what he did was, I could give you some if you be quiet about it. You're a good parent. You're around. You're active for the outside. But I can't give you any rain tickets because that would be unfair. Because
right.
I think when it rains, it's only supposed to be basically just the parents.
Uh-huh.
And everyone else is supposed to be outside. But somehow he swung it to where for the rain. Everybody was in there for my sisters. Somehow. I don't know how he did it, but they worked something out by the third time.
That's a multi-year journey.
Yeah, but the second time. We'd have been through this before, Clark. I'm going to need some tickets. You know I got people coming from far away. People got to be in there to see my son graduate. It's like, oh, my goodness. He's in there arguing about graduation tickets. What is happening here? My dad, man, I felt like I might have had to knock him out to get this. Like, all right.
Now, were you trying to calm that pop down about the situation?
Yeah, the situation with my brother I was. With mine, I heard about it secondhand. Next thing you know, he's like, man, I'm in there trying to get tickets for everybody to come. Man, that Clark's acting funny about the tickets. I was like, well, you can't let everybody. Like, I understood. But for my dad, he was like, he wanted everybody that came. People come from down south or whatever. People come over from Philly. He wanted everybody to be able to go.
Yeah.
But he always managed to get the outdoor tickets. It was just the rain tickets. But it didn't matter the first two times because it was perfect weather. But my sister's time was like the ultimate test because it was downpouring. Somehow, I didn't even realize he got so many tickets. I expected it was just to be, I knew he got like two extra. So I thought it was going to be my dad and mom and then me and my brother, us four. I looked to the left and the right. We got the whole row of bleachers.
That's awesome, man. I don't know. I want to do a segment, the Stevie J segment, but... Yeah, you've been working on that for a while.
He's been resistant.
For this long?
Yeah. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm probably going to have to get my brother in on it. If it becomes like a family segment and my brother comes
he'd be like a wise sage. Like we'd have him as the sage.
Oh, yeah.
Stevie J, the sage.
I think so, too. But I think I need to get my brother in on it. Or if my sister came up from Atlanta... He would be more apt to do it.
All right,
he wants to do it solo.
All right, let's get it together.
Yeah. We'll get it. Work on it.
All right, let's take a quick break. A couple open lines. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, odds have just come out. These are fascinating odds on Aaron Rodgers that have just come out.
Cute.
Will Aaron Rodgers take the Packers' first snap week one? The favorite is no.
That's the favorite.
At minus 140.
I believe it.
That he will not take.
Yeah. Snap. I take that.
Okay, here's the other one. Will Aaron Rodgers retire before week one? Yes, is minus 400 as the favorite.
I believe that too.
Yeah, I could buy that.
That's what I was telling you. Minus 400 is like a lock.
He's basically saying if they don't trade me, I'm going to retire, but I'm not going to play for you.
Well, that's what the Vegas odds are saying.
Yeah.
That's got to be some inside information to set a line at minus 400.
Yeah, that must be. But that also shows you that, surprise, surprise, when you have a starting quarterback and then you draft his replacement rather than getting help, there's a chance that the quarterback might not like it. And that doesn't automatically make him weak, soft, or the worst human being ever born.
Yeah, well.
Rodgers did play well But you notice he's not happy and he's not coming back because he feels like the organization disrespected him. And all this is a different version of the Carson Wentz thing where he felt disrespected. And then the only difference is it's Wentz's fault. He allowed it to get into his head and affect his play. Rodgers, because he was more seasoned, allowed it to get into his head, fueled his play for 1 year, but he's like, I still don't like any of you. I still don't trust any of you, and I'm not going to play for any of you. It's the same situation. The people out there that thought that this was normal. Nothing about it is normal. What is normal is how Rodgers and Wentz reacted. That part's normal.
Do they have anything on his odds to host Jeopardy? He was a fan favorite.
They don't have the odds on Jeopardy, but Tyrone's favorite player, they had some odds on.
Who, A-Rod?
Tim Tebow.
Oh, dear God.
Tim Tebow odds, proposition bets. Tim Tebow. Will Tim Tebow make the Jaguars' 53-man roster for week one? The yes and no odds are tied at minus 120.
Yeah, because the game's rigged. Meyer's not going to make him compete for the job. He just thinks he'd be good in the locker room.
Yeah, but no is minus 20. It's the same price.
Right. It's 50.
So, yeah.
So with the coaches rigging it, but on the other side, he has no chance as an actual football player. Yeah, and he hasn't played since 2012. And people just conveniently forget about the baseball part.
They're not asking him to play quarterback, though. So.
Well, had he changed positions sooner, he might have had a
football player. He's a football player. Could he pull off tight end? I don't know.
I don't think he can pull off. I think he's kind of an entitled brat. I don't think he can pull it off if it's a fair competition. But if it's rigged, yeah, like it's been rigged for him many times in his life, sure.
Well, you know, it's his coach rigging it. His coach knows more about him as a player than anybody else, right?
Not as a tight end. He just wants him in the locker room.
He just knows his fiber. He knows his fiber.
He knows college
fiber. This guy's a football player that I can use somewhere.
I think it's more like he's a guy who will make guys fall in line because he'll blindly just say, yes, sir, and I need that because I'm going from college to the pros where grown men don't automatically blindly say, yes, sir.
I had a problem with him going to baseball. I don't have a problem with him trying to play football.
After 2012, coming back after 9 years, yeah, I have a problem with that. No. After that many years, I think it's disrespectful to the game.
At least he's got some kind of football pedigree. He didn't have any baseball pedigree.
I mean, does he have much football pedigree?
Well, yeah, he was a very good college football player.
No, I'm talking about pro football pedigree.
No, not as a quarterback, he doesn't have any cred. But, you know, people were saying back then you should make him a fullback or something.
So had he been an H-back, he'd have stuck in the league.
Yeah, he's got football genes.
As a hybrid guy, but now he's also old.
It's going to, yeah, he is old. I don't know. I don't care as much about the Tebow thing as I would if Tebow could play in baseball. Mike and Belmar, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mike.
What's up, Mikey?
What's going on, Mike?
Listen, talking about the Sixers, I don't know how you guys feel, and I want to comment on the way you were feeling at the beginning of the show about wading in the water there and waiting for everything to happen.
Yeah, just wait. I'm bobbing.
I feel you, man. I feel the same exact way, but there's something special about this team, and I think that people aren't getting excited enough. Mike, I was 10 years old when the Sixers won the championship in 83. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, this is the first time that I feel like we have a legitimate shot of winning it since then. I didn't feel that way with the early 90s teams, with Mahorn and Barkley and stuff like that. I didn't feel that way with AI. I was just happy that he got to play in that game in 2000. This is the first time that they've been consistently winning without catastrophic injuries, and the coaching difference has been monumental, man. I mean, I got to give Doc credit for so much because Embiid's playing out of his mind, and Tobias is playing better, and some of these guys are stepping up. Now, they're not great every night. Obviously, we got our issues with Ben, but Mike, why are we not talking about, like, the feeling we're getting here in Philadelphia right now is special, man. What do you think?
Well, I think that people are not approaching this logically and are approaching it like the typical Philadelphia thing where the sky's going to fall. And you have to kind of get to the other side of that because logically you go, okay, what can prevent them from winning a championship? Well, the Nets. The Nets are the team that can prevent them. Now, it's going to be hard to win an NBA Finals, don't get me wrong, but Like, the Nets are really the only thing that can prevent them at this point. And we don't even know if they can. We don't even have that foundation that the Nets can stop it because we don't know about the Nets.
Right.
So I don't know why people are so afraid of it. If the Nets win, there's no question it's because the Sixers choked. It's because the Sixers weren't as good as the Nets.
Absolutely. And, Mike, under that circumstance, if all three of those guys are healthy, there's nothing to be ashamed about losing a series. But, I mean, right now, this city needs to start getting excited.
Yeah. Well, again, there's too much time has to go by. Like, we have to wade through these games. We have to wade through the first series. We even have to wade through the second series, although, you know, they play Miami. It'll be competitive.
Sure.
You know?
I agree, brother. I just wanted to say, man, like, it's crazy that, like, these guys, everybody out here is, and I talk to people, like, on a regular basis because I'm in the restaurant industry and stuff like that, and a lot of people are so down still and afraid to get excited. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, this is the best chance we've had in maybe 30 years.
Yeah. I get it. And in fact, they're not even going to play Miami in the second round. So I don't even know why I even brought that up.
They could, Miami, I guess, technically couldn't still get the 5 seed, and then it could be Knicks. It could still be Knicks. It could be.
Yeah.
It could be in the second round. And if it is, this isn't the bubble. Jimmy Butler's dictatorship, it didn't work. That's why they're not winning at the high level.
No, because his dictatorship doesn't work. Besides that, they're not deep enough.
No.
They're not deep enough, and Hero is taking a climb down. So.
We talked about that on the show.
Yeah.
Last year in the bubble.
Because he's out in the streets.
Out in these streets. I said, when it's not a bubble, he's in them streets. You're going to see a decline. These girls down in Miami, if you're from a kid, you a Hayseed type kid, it's too much for you. It's too much for you to be in them streets.
Where's he from? He's from Milwaukee, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's
from Milwaukee. That's not the same. Yeah, no, different not. Level of women in Miami. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And you got money? Come on, Natalie. Keep it real.
I know. You're right.
You step out from Milwaukee women to Kentucky women to Miami women with money.
Don't you know those Miami women are different?
Exactly. There's those milk and honey girls in Wisconsin.
Oh, my. And then the Marmalade won at the fair.
There's the Sequin Halter girls.
Uh-huh. And he's out
Miami.
There. In a state that was completely open the whole pandemic. And you wonder why he struggled.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
We're going to 3 o'clock hour, and you can climb in. Good time for you to. Come on, folks, the scared, reticent people. Let's go. I'll put you on the sofa, on the couch. You know, we'll have a little discussion. And by the time you leave the office, I think you might be a little more confident. 610-620-975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock, our Mike Mussinelli Show. Matt Breen coming at, up at 4 o'clock to talk some Phillies and maybe an acquisition for Chris Bryant. And what would they do? I was talking to a baseball guy a little while ago, and I asked him if he could play center field. And he said maybe a couple times, but not on a full-time basis. He's playing Wrigley. It's a smaller park. He's getting away with it. He only played 3 times. He just couldn't play center field here. It would be too taxing. You know, he's never had to run. Guy's been a third base. He's been playing in a box all his life.
Look, I need you to sacrifice.
Well, sacrifice? You have McCutcheon out there and left, and you have Chris Bryant center. They would give up runs.
Yeah, but he would hit. Get some runs back.
Yeah, but you can't hide him in center. You can hide a guy in left. We talk about Harper couldn't even play center field. McCutcheon couldn't play center field anymore. What makes you think this guy could play? He never played center field.
I don't know. What I'm saying is I can't have what I have now.
I get it, man. But
I won't have
it. It's not realistic to bring him here and have him play center field. Now,
well, maybe he has to play left field.
Yeah, well, even if he could spell a McCutcheon and play left field. Then you can play third base and spell Hoskins. Then you move Bohm to first sometimes. You can do that with him and get him enough at-bats. But you still have the center field problem.
Well, I need him on the team. All I right. want this to happen. All I right. need it to happen because I can steal the division. And then there's enough DH games. I'll figure something out. First thing, let's get him on the squad.
Yeah.
And then the Rod, he can take Herrera's roster spot.
We'll talk to Breen to see where that would fit. And news, the Oakland A's looking, but they have always been looking to move. They want to move from Oakland. And Nashville and Brooklyn are possibilities. I'm about to bring them bums back to Brooklyn.
I think that would be really cool. The tough part is apparently they're at the end of the road here as far as they've been all these different things where they've given the building for free. They've done all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And now there's this new bill. And this is like it. And if this doesn't get passed.
For a new stadium?
Yeah, then they have to go. Like at that point, like they're mm-hmm. at their backs at the wall. There's no more half measures. There's no more. So that's why this is, quote, news, because this is always in the news. But apparently this is like the last measure, and then it's out. Nashville, I think, would make a hard-charging play. They're a growing city, and they would want a team, and they would give the tax breaks. So I would imagine they would be the favorites. But Brooklyn's interesting.
You could keep the A's nickname. That would work anywhere.
Anywhere.
The A's nickname. So the A's would be
the
team.
Keep the colors, too.
But does New York need three teams?
This is the tough part.
Well, they used to have
that's
three.
What I mean. I know, but do they need three now?
But here's the thing. A market that size, they were doing something. They were saying there should be no team. They were saying that Memphis should be in New York, like should be in New Jersey. Because when you have a market that size, it makes sense for the Memphis Grizzlies to be the Newark Grizzlies. That makes more sense than playing in Memphis if you actually just care. Even though it would split the market because the market's so big.
Yeah. You know, the A's now, I don't think any other team has had four cities under the same organization, right?
No, I don't think
Philadelphia,
so.
Philadelphia, Kansas City,
yeah.
Oakland, and wherever. There'd be four moves for that franchise.
I'm trying to think. Lakers only had Minneapolis and then L.A. Is that it?
Yeah.
What about the Clippers had San Diego, L.A., and then there was something before San Diego, I thought. I'm just trying. This is literally off the top. I'm trying to think.
Trying to think. There could be three. I don't know if there's been four.
Okay.
That's interesting. All right. 610-620-9975. Let's go to Paul in Downingtown, start the 3 o'clock hour. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Natalie. Hey, Ty.
How you doing?
All right. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I got a feeling. My feeling's not just based
on. Did you just do Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that was a bad version. It's all right. Go ahead, Paul.
I've only had this feeling twice before in my Sixers, you know, about the Sixers. One was 1977 and one was 1983.
Uh-huh.
Now, 77, there was a superior offensive squad.
Yep.
And 83, it was a defensive squad. So I'm kind of feeling this team is somewhere in between that. And, you know, I got to open, hey, we're going to win this thing.
Well, right? I mean, 83, pretty good offensive team, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this team is an interesting team. Now, again, the Iverson team didn't have a lot of offensive players. They just put it together with one guy dominating the offensive part of the game and the other four just fitting in beautifully. Right?
Yes.
So this team is interesting because they're better than that. And they can defend. The only thing I worry about is consistent offense.
Well, we should be able to handle that, especially. And then I have a prediction. Well, two things I want before I get off of here, Mike.
Uh-huh.
People talk about the process and how bad that was, or mm-hmm. how painful that was. Nothing could be more painful than we owe you one saga that we had to live through.
with Doc's finger in the air.
Yeah, with the finger in the mm-hmm. Daily News, the full page finger.
Yeah, that was a billboard, too.
Yes.
We owe you one.
That was painful.
Yeah, it was.
That was painful. And one more point about Ben Simmons. Now, Ben's going to light it up. And I know a lot of people are doubters, but you got to look at Ben's personality. He's a guy who likes to shine when the lights are brightest. Now, he missed last year's playoffs where he wanted to shine. He missed the All-Star game, which he wanted to shine. So he's hungry to get some light to shine. He's going to go off in the playoffs, Mike, I believe.
I hope you're right, because he didn't go off the last playoff type situation.
Yes, he was hurt. He got hurt.
No, the one before that. Yeah, now I know he's older. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows how he's going to come out of the playoffs? Really, it's a mystery.
I think he's going to surprise some people. Mike.
I hope you're right. What surprise people means he gets aggressive offensively and he gets close to 20 a game. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't want to see these 10 nights.
Oh yeah, one more prediction, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I get out of here.
Uh huh.
5 losses for the playoffs this year. 5.
5.
That's it.
In the whole playoffs?
The whole playoffs. 5 losses. I know that's bold.
All right, so you think they're going to do like lose 3 where to the in the finals?
No, they're going to sweep 2-2 at the max.
Sweep 2-2 through the yes. whole playoffs.
Yes.
All right. I mean, I probably would not bet on sweep.
You said that they could.
They could, but I wouldn't bet on it.
I wouldn't bet either. But sweep sets up to where you can go 7 and then go 6 against, like, the Clippers and win it in 6. And that's not impossible. If you sweep, you got a chance.
If you sweep, you got a lot of energy left.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So then you go 7. Mm-hmm. It's tough. The Nets, you respect the Nets. That's a tough 7-game series. You lose 3.
Uh-huh.
And then you come back, though, against the Clippers. Playoff P becomes his normal self. And then you beat them in 6, and you only lose 5. If you sweep, it's possible. If you don't sweep, I don't think it can happen.
All right, speaking of the process, that's called brought it up. I got an email from a guy named Matt, who did a study on the process. And he said that I am exhausted by the process talk, and I figured I would help and try to put the argument to bed.
All right.
For those of you who did not like or don't believe in the process, are you aware that since 1980, only 5 teams have won the NBA title without a number 1, 2, or 3 overall draft pick on their team? I did not know that, but apparently this man did a study. One of those 5 teams had a number 4 overall draft pick. Another had 2 number 5 overall draft picks. Another had a 1 number 5. And another team had Steph Curry, arguably the best shooter in the history of the NBA. But then they added Durant, a number 3 overall. So his point is the majority of those draft picks were selected by teams that they won their respective titles, but for some of them were free agent acquisitions. So he's saying that that you need at least a number 1, 2, or 3 overall draft pick on your team since 1980 to win a championship.
Yeah, he kind of wasted his time looking that up. You mean to tell me you need to have a good player to win a title?
He's saying it's got to be a high lottery pick.
Right,
into the process concept.
But this is where it's a little silly, where I didn't need, okay, so you had Magic. So I'm saying for the champions, you had Magic, Bird, the Sixers teams, the Pistons. These are all the champions, and then the Bulls.
All right, he went down every year, too. Okay, he starts with 1990. Detroit, number 2 pick was Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
Bulls,
Jordan.
3 was Jordan.
Right.
5 was Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Rockets, number
Olajuwon.
1, Hakeem Olajuwon. Bulls again was Jordan. Remember, 99, San Antonio, David Robinson.
And Duncan.
Lakers, Shaq, Kobe.
Right. Well, Kobe wasn't that high.
No. San Antonio, number
Duncan.
1, David Robinson, and Duncan.
Yeah.
Number 4, Pistons. Rashid Ford and Rip Hamilton. So that's the outlier.
That's one of the outliers.
Yes. Yeah. San Antonio again, number 1, Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Heat, Shaq, Wade was 5th.
Yeah,
San Antonio again, Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, another outlier. KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce.
Right, you got great players.
Lakers, Pau Gasol, Adam Morrison.
So you can't count Adam Morrison.
Count Adam
he didn't
Morrison.
Even play. He didn't even play.
LeVar Odom was a 4.
Okay, he counts.
Lakers again, Pau. Dallas, J. Kidd, 2nd pick.
Yeah, he sort of, he helped them, but I mean, it was Dirk's team.
Yeah, Dirk, 9. Yeah. Miami, LeBron. Yeah. Miami, LeBron.
Yeah.
Bosch, 5. Antonio Duncan, Golden State, Steph, they out, another LR. Cleveland, LeBron, Golden State, KD, and Toronto, 15, Kawhi. So that's another
outlier. That's another outlier.
And Lakers.
Yeah. LeBron. But that to me, none of those, like, obviously you need good players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how you get them. They chose to get them that way. You need great players to win a title. That's not like...
You need great players to win a title. And he's saying that you need, if you're going to build around people, they have to be 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, and that part has proven to be inaccurate. But they were all great players. You need great players. That's the point.
Yeah.
However you get them. The Celtics got great players.
Yeah.
And I don't care how you got them.
But the great players going to come from 1, 2, or 3.
No, because you just mentioned this, the Celtics team.
There's a couple of them.
And the Warriors does. And Toronto. It happens too often to say you have to do it.
But he's saying only 5 teams have won it without a number 1, 2, or 3.
How many teams won it total? Like 7, 8 teams? Not that many teams won it total.
Yeah, that's true. That's
the other part.
That's
true.
That's a variable.
In the NBA, it's the hardest to win one, but the easiest to win more than one. Like, if the Sixers break through this year, in the next 4 years, the Sixers can win 2 or 3 more if they can break through and win one.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get the one. It's easier, quote-unquote, to win multiple once you figure out the formula. The formula's just really, really hard.
Was KD 3 or 2?
KD had
3?
3 or 4, yeah.
Kevin Durant was 3 or 4?
Out of high school, yeah. Oh, Kevin Durant was 3.
3. Okay.
I thought he was. No.
He was 2
behind Odom.
Yeah. Okay.
He was 2.
Yeah. All right. 610-632-0975. Paul H. in Downingtown. What's up, Paul H.?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, man?
I'm not. I want to talk about the Sixers.
Yes.
Can we clinch tonight? Clinch the number 1 seed tonight?
Well, yes. This is tonight. They win. They clinch the number 1 seed. Yes.
All right. Yeah. So we can win. I got a feeling, man. We're going to do it this year, man.
Feeling it, huh?
Yeah. Got a feeling we're going to get it done.
All right. Well, I like the feeling. Again, well, I look at it logically. I think you're looking at it maybe. You're a fan. You want to see it happen and maybe influencing you. I'm asking people to pull themselves away. Pull them out of society. Like you're a guy looking in on the earth. Right?
Yeah.
And so you look at it logically and you go, okay, can they lose in the first 2 rounds? Probably not. So where can they lose? They can possibly lose to the Nets. But if they get to the finals... Can that whatever team in the West beat them 4 times?
Right. Yeah, I think we're going to do it, man. I think we're going to do it.
All right, bro.
Okay.
You got it, man. The Clippers, by the way, were the Buffalo Braves. So they were in Buffalo for a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was my cousin played for him.
Oh, he played for Buffalo.
Bob D. Gregorio played for Buffalo Braves. Randy Smith played for the Buffalo Braves. Bob McAdoo played for the Buffalo Braves.
Mm. Well, there you go. It's a shame the small market can't really support multiple teams.
Randy Smith was a good player, man. He was a guard. Slasher.
Good player.
You remember Randy Smith? Remember Randy Smith?
Mm-mm.
Good player. All right, let's go Scott in Philly. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Scott?
Nothing much, man. Hey, Ty, hey, Natalie. I was calling for Ben Simmons, man.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand why people like to ride Ben as much as they do.
Yeah, you know why.
Think about it.
Come on.
Jordan didn't win the title.
Jordan. You know why they ride him. Let's look at the why they ride him. It's not about what he didn't win a title. Why is Ben Simmons being ridden?
Jump shot and everything, man.
Yeah. we already know. But man, I got to ask you the question. What player ever have played in a perimeter did not shoot a jump shot?
Nobody.
All right. So then why is it hard for you to believe that like he gets ridden for that?
But you think about it. Think about it this way. Magic Johnson played the point at that size. Magic primarily, unless he had to. Now, there was games where Magic had to, and he went off. He shot the 3. He shot the mid-range. He did everything he needed to do. But that was the player he was out of college. Ben was always the biggest person on the team. So he really never had to develop that skill.
What are you talking about? He was always a guard. Right? When did he not want to develop the skill? He was always a guard.
No, he was a guard. He was a guard in college and a guard in the pros. When he was playing high school and younger, he was always the biggest player on the team.
It doesn't matter. He still had the ball in his hands. He was always a guard. He grew up in Australia with the ball in his hands as a perimeter player.
And you don't think he still has time to develop that perimeter scheme?
Why? I just asked you a question. What other player who played in the perimeter would not shoot the basketball? You know exactly why we ride him. Stop it. You're enabling again.
That's enabling, Mike.
Yeah, that's totally enabling. How could you ignore that part of it? Listen, I love Ben. I know you love Ben. But don't come here and say, like, why is he ridden? You know exactly why he's ridden.
All right, Mike, you got me. although the one thing that I did call for that you got right before the phone call was Buffalo with Bob McAdoo and Randy Smith.
Yeah, I just said it.
Yeah, you said it right before I came.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, Randy Smith, Bob McAdoo. Ernie DiGregorio back in the day.
Yeah.
That's my cousin.
They used to come in. Yo, I can tell that's blood. Yeah. Yeah, they used to come into the Spectrum and get a Sixers fit.
They were that's why Randy Smith was a 20-plus scorer. He was a swashbuckling guard before there was. He would take it hard to the basket, that dude.
Yeah, I remember Henry Bibby sitting sticking.
Yeah, he was nasty. All right, man. The old school basketball now we're going with. Randy Smith. Let me see. He played 13 years in the NBA, Tyrone.
That's a good run.
The Buffalo Braves, 24.6 in 77-78. That's the year the Sixers won it. Well, we got to the finals, anyway. Randy Smith was an all-star.
It's pretty good.
On that squad.
You know, it could be possible that Simmons is the surprise. Because there's always a surprise.
Yeah.
What if it's just Ben goes, all right, well, now I'm just going to go get mine.
Well,
that changes the whole calculus of everything.
Well, of course I had that thought earlier.
Of course it does. That's what I'm saying. Like that the impediments are he doesn't do that or he does do that. If he does do that, it's an easier road. Because you're not stressing about other guys.
Yeah, I think he's going to do it. And then that's going to make those other guys better because then they have to close on him harder, mm-hmm. which means when he kicks it out, those are easier shots for the lesser players. And I trust Danny Green to make enough open looks because he's done it his whole life. You get that man enough open looks. I know he missed some. I'm talking about the majority.
Mm-hmm.
You get that man open looks, he's going to make 40% of them. And that's what you need from your wing guys. He'll do it. And so will Curry if they're open looks. And he can provide that in the playoffs. And those guys will make open looks. I truly believe it.
All right. I'm looking at the Buffalo Braves in 1977-78 now. Marvin Barnes was on that team. News was on that squad. The News didn't sign with the Sixers. And went to the ABA.
Wow.
And came back to the NBA with the Buffalo Braves.
There you go.
And news played with Ernie D at college.
Oh, all right.
He said I was a two-man squad. Yeah. Providence.
Yeah.
They went to the Final Four.
With those two guys.
Two guys. No, the other guy, too, played for the Celtics. The other guard, Kevin Steakum, was on that Providence team. It's my youth.
There you go.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Pumped up kicks. Mike Missinelli Show. It's 3:30 and 3:30. You know what that means. First of all, an update on our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And That's news. So here's Nat with the Twitter poll first.
Alrighty, Mike, with the Sixers about to clinch the one seed, how confident are you they'll make a finals run? 53% are confident, 38% are somewhat confident, 9% still not confident at all.
All right. I'll take it. That's it. Like, if you take the 9% out, you take the 91% of the people have a great semblance of confidence.
Yes.
So I'll take that. That's There's always the ne'er-do-wells.
That's true.
Out there.
Always some bad apples.
Yes. All right. Sixers, Phillies lineup's in for tonight, too. We'll give you that in a second. But right now, we span the globe and find the most unusual and interesting stories for your perusal and our perusal. And it's called Nat's News.
That's right, Mike. First, we're going to go around the globe to the UK, where a documentary is being made about a man who got drunk and changed his name to Celine Dion. Thomas Dodd, a man from Staffordshire, got very drunk in 2019 and did something very unexpected. The 31-year-old forked out 89 pounds and changed his name to that of his idol. Since then, he's made headlines with friends and strangers calling him Celine as he passes by on the street. And now his life story is getting additional recognition. A documentary is being made about him. So this, this Japanese filmmaker wants to make a documentary about this strange tale, and they're casting a Japanese actor to play him and have taken measurements of his home. So he said he was contacted by a TV company who was representing a Japanese documentary maker, and it's a documentary based on the story from his Christmas Eve and the crazy things that have happened since, and he said he's happy that he doesn't have to be in it. But, yeah, so apparently last year he was on Ellen DeGeneres and won, like, $10,000. But, yeah, he changed his name to Celine Dion when he was drunk.
What is so interesting about a guy that is drunk and changes his name to Celine Dion that would make a documentary? Like, I'm trying to, like...
I would watch it.
You would?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah,
he said he did it.
Here's with the guy, the drunk.
The guy changed his name to Celine Dion.
Yeah.
There's got to be a... That guy's got to have a good story.
Yeah, I mean, he
Why?
Said...
Why? Maybe he's just a drunk.
The drunks... I've been around a lot of drunks. I know of a drunk. None of them changed their name to Celine Dion.
No, he said that he did it because he loves her, and she's his go-to person that he listens to when she needs cheering up. So he spent a lot of the pandemic watching her concerts at home, and then... maybe it like influenced him so much, and when he was drunk, he said, you know, once it sunk in and he woke up and he realized what he did, he said he was fine with it. Then he changed his name on everything, so now his name's Celine Dion, and they're gonna make a movie about it. His mom didn't like it at first.
Well, of course
I'm befuddled. Listen, when Bruce Jenner wants to change his sex become Caitlyn Jenner, that's a story. Some drunken, where is it?
Staffordshire
wants to change his name to Celine Dion. I don't find anything interesting about that.
He said that there's a lot of like Celine fanatics who ask them to record a video for him because that's like the ultimate fan, right? Don't you think?
That's what it's about. He's such a big fan. Why has he become such a fan of Celine Dion?
I want to know. Would you care about why he's a fan of Celine Dion?
Because I find that, first of all, I find anybody that's super fan of her quite interesting.
I love her. But I'm not a super fan.
You're not a super fan.
No, I like her.
You've never mentioned her before.
But if it was somebody notable who changed the name to Celine Dion, I can get it, but it's just a guy.
That makes it a good story. I like the regular people.
If you could change your name to one celebrity, what would it be?
Nothing for me.
George Clooney.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Ty?
I don't know.
Me?
Yeah. What celebrity would you be?
I mean, probably none.
None?
No.
Nobody? All right.
I mean, I guess I'd be...
Alex Rodriguez. You change your name.
No.
Because you love him so.
I'm trying to think of... Like, no, I would do a name like Rip Torn or something like
Rip
that.
Rip Torn?
Yeah, like that's what my favorite celebrity name.
Princess Consuela Banana Hammock.
Rip Torn.
One other thing on this whole thing, right? Why would they let him, a drunk guy, come in and allow him to go through the change of name process?
I guess they didn't care. If he's forking up the 89 pounds.
It seems like it's somebody responsible.
You know, Holmes, he ain't drunk. I tell you what, sleep it off. Tomorrow, if you think of the same thing, come back in.
Look, I mean, if I was the person doing the name change, I probably would have been like, hand it over. Here you go, Celine.
Who am I to judge?
Right.
Your heart's going to go on.
Suppose you're a tattoo guy.
Different.
A guy comes in.
Tattoo's different.
He's blasted. He says, I want you to bleep you across my chest.
No, it's
now,
different.
If you're a responsible tattoo guy, you go home. You're a little drunk. Think about this.
Right. Tattoos are different.
All right. Whatever. What's the second story?
All right. So this one is a doozy, but it's very diabolical. A woman staged a fake funeral for her ex-boyfriend so that his mistress believed that he's dead. So this woman learned her boyfriend had cheated on her, and this is how she retaliated. So she was pregnant, this woman named Thea Loveridge, and after she gave birth to their baby, she realized he was cheating the entire time with his ex, who caused drama in their relationship. So he ended up going to prison for something, and she was texting him, trying to find out where he was, all worried why he wasn't talking to her, so she had his phone. So then she messaged her and told her that he was gone, but that's not all she did. She staged a fake funeral for him and even sent out pictures of the service after convincing his sister to go along with the scheme, and it's been 3 years and she still thinks that he's gone. So every year, apparently, she posts tributes to the love of her life on Facebook, saying how she's sorry that she couldn't be there to save him when he died.
I like it.
I love
now,
it.
Is the woman doing it because when the guy gets out of prison, the competitor is gone?
I guess, yeah. I mean, the internet kind of went crazy over it, and everyone's like, it's the sister backing you up for me. This is heinous. I'm in love with it. And then it's like, what if she married another man, finding out he's alive, and now she's conflicted? But
well, this woman has to move, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't really indicate what he's in jail for or how long he's in there. So
I like it.
I like it, too.
I like the move. Ladies out there, though, I'm not trying to be a hater. Can we mix in maybe not having children with the people in prison and mix in having kids with people who aren't in prison? Because it happens.
Well, he wasn't in prison when.
Yeah, but you know the prison type.
Right.
Maybe I just think that in general, in society, I'm not trying to kick the guys in prison out or down.
No.
I'm saying perhaps mix in some sort of birth control method of any kind.
Right.
With the prisoner.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one ultimate revenge for both of them.
Yes.
And he's in jail, so sucks for him.
That's good creativity.
Very good. All right.
So the final story, Mike, is an update on Nat's news from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Which I would just
updating
like to...
Updating Nat's news for the first time ever.
Yeah, this is important. So I would just like to put a PSA out on behalf of the show that anything that we say in Nat's news is not condoned or meant as sort of inspiration to take Nat's news into your own hands and commit something that was done in Nat's news in the name of the Mike Missinelli Show.
Correct.
However, I was alerted last night that there was this pothole in Fox Chase. If you know the Fox Chase area, right on Ron and Oxford near Rikers Meats and the Dunkin' Donuts. I used to live up that way. And here this pothole had been like 2 feet deep and it was there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
People were telling me. And somebody must have listened to Nat's news yesterday, decided to follow our friend from the news in New Zealand, who decided to draw spray paint a giant penis around the pothole.
A copycat Nat's news crime. I love it.
But wait, that's not all, Mike. Uh-huh. That is not all.
That's step one, though. That's step one.
Somebody thought to do it, which, okay, fine. But the biggest thing of all, and this is the breaking news, is that it worked. As of this morning, the pothole was fixed after 2 years. I did a little digging.
Yeah,
I saw. So the people in Fox Chase are saying bad news. There's a giant, spray painted around it. But the good news is the pothole is fixed. So while we don't condone any sort of vandalism,
get out there and erase it now.
Yes.
Whoever did it has the responsibility to scrub it out.
Yeah, I think maybe chalk
Kramer
would be a good
needs to get out
option.
There.
You
got to do it. No, get the paint thinner.
Yes, get paint thinner.
You got to do it in paint, because chalk, they'll just wash it away.
Unless it's latex paint, which you can wash, scrub it away with soap.
There you go.
I mean, the photo I'm looking at now, it's right outside of Rikers Prime Meats.
That's awesome. I can see the photo.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Why didn't the person who went to fill the hole, they don't have any equipment or anything else on the truck to maybe take off the thing?
What, scrubbing equipment?
Yeah.
No, man.
They have a brush?
No, they're carrying scrubbing equipment. They're with asphalt.
That's all they got.
Yeah, what do you think? They're, they got like Depp industrial cleaner on there with a brush.
Well, whoever it is, got to get that
something.
Out there.
I mean, that's not.
Don't let a you got washing machine come by and light the joint on fire.
See, this is all unionized, man. You got to get the penis patrol for
the
West Virginia.
Right.
Right. Their job, the
we
penis
don't even
patrol.
Have a sponge. We don't even have a sponge on the truck.
Is that? Do you call 311? Because that's the number that you call for potholes. Just a PSA before you go spray painting anything.
Yeah, 311. Awesome.
Call 311 and ask for the penis patrol to come out.
Now, that's as you brought up the sponge because on the other side, I got sponge tail.
You have sponge tail.
Like that's from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Where Larry goes, you can't get the sponge. But on the other side, I got a sponge story.
Oh, I'm excited. Right.
Somebody get a sponge.
Yeah, so we get, well, why can't you get the sponge?
Yeah, that was great.
All right, so on the other side, I'll give you a little sponge action. So here's...
Nice.
Here's your Phil's lineup tonight. McCutcheon, Segura, Harper, Realmuto, Miller. Brad Miller in the lineup playing right... Where's he playing? Left field? No. Where's Miller playing?
Now let me look.
Third base. Bohm is out of the lineup tonight.
Yeah, that's
Brad Miller at third. Bohm getting a rest because he's struggling. Hoskins, Didi, Herrera, Chase Anderson tonight for your Phils.
It'll be a tough one. Chase Anderson on the mound.
Yeah, he was successful last outing. I'm going to have to go against him tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Mike Mussinelli Show back. A quick break. Back into this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Who's your favorite band, Tyrone?
You're not my favorite, but I'm going to go see them in September.
This is such a trite song. It's just a repetitive, trite, nonsensical song.
Anyway.
The Killers, yeah, they kill me. In any event, it's the Mike Mussinelli Show. And, okay, so we just brought up the sponge. So here's the sponge story. So last week, I had to update some stuff that in my living area, so I decided I would get a new sofa and a love seat.
I thought you got a new sofa recently. You had ordered not that long ago.
No, this is the same story. It just came last week.
Oh, all right.
It just came. It just arrived.
Oh.
So I was down at the shore. I had to wait the arrival, but I had to get rid of the old stuff. Right, so you had to get rid of old stuff because the furniture people don't to bring new stuff. They're not taking the old stuff. So I go. Oh, I'll donate it. So I get the Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, there you go.
And I make arrangements for them the same day that the delivery is going to come later. The new stuff
for them to pick it up.
Pick it up early.
Okay,
but I had to bring it outside. So friends of mine brought it from the house to the garage area. They won't come in your house. You have to have it outside for that truck to come.
Okay.
For the Habitat for Humanity. Oh. Now, it's a nice, it's old, it's like 20 years old, but it's a sleeper sofa, and it's a love seat. It's still in good condition, useful, right?
All right.
Nice.
So, so they come, and I also had a bureau. I had a bureau and a mirror and an end table, and I was moving all this stuff, and I figured I'd donate it. And to a cause. So the guys come in the truck, and I open the garage. They take the other stuff. They look at the sofa, and they go, "We can't take this." And I go, "Well, why not?" And they go, "Well, there seems to be some. It's soiled here on the one arm." And I didn't even notice it, to tell you the truth. But it must have been like soda that spilled like years ago. But it was faint.
Right.
And I go, okay, I go, well, this will come off. I go, don't they have a sponge in that place? They
right.
go, no, it's not our job to clean up anything. The stuff has to be in pristine condition to be able to be resold. Now, I didn't know that they were reselling it. I thought they were going to take furniture and give it to needy folks who maybe didn't have furniture.
They have these Habitat for Humanity stores.
Oh, yeah.
I bought some stools from a place, like bar stools.
Yeah, there's one in Kensington.
They save a lot of money. I bought it in Jersey.
Okay, so I go, all right, well, listen, I'll just run upstairs. I got to brush it. I got some upstairy cleaner. I can get that right out. They go, well, how we know if it's going to be wet then? How we know if the stain's out?
You kidding me?
And I go, all right. And one guy goes, wait, we can't take this one either. I see there's a little hole here in the corner.
What?
And I go, well, what do you want me to do? And they go, I tell you what, if you clean it up and you fix the hole, we'll come back and pick it up.
Nah.
So I throw a cross stitch?
They left. They were gone. I'm scrubbing and stuff. I got it off. It was scrubbed. And so I get the needle and thread out.
Yeah.
I got skills.
Yeah.
I got the needle and thread out. I sewed a hole.
Well, that's good work.
Masterful work.
That's great work.
That is good work by you.
So I got a call. I called them and told them. They said, if you call, you don't have to be there. We'll just pick it up in your garage. So now I'm going, okay, can I trust that?
See, I don't, no.
I can't trust that?
I don't think you can.
These fellas look like they were volunteers. They look like guys that were doing community service.
Well, and they're working for Habitat for Humanity. They look like guys
that may have been through rehab,
see?
Which I respect.
It's Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, they were volunteering.
I got a rule.
Either way, they're taking it off of his hands.
I can't have just randos up in my house.
Well, it's not.
It's in the garage.
They can't get into the house.
They can't. There's no.
No,
way.
You can't get into the house. The garage is under the house.
Now, family members not allowed in my house.
So anyway. I call them and I don't know if they're going to do it or not. But where was I leading to this one? I haven't done sewing in a long time. Answer me this question, because this is one of these mystery questions of life.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the needle have to be, the hole in the needle had to be so tiny? Why can't it be just a little bigger? Because I spent like 15 minutes trying to get the thread through.
Threading the needle is a real pain in the butt.
Why can't that hole be just a little bigger?
Because.
You gotta twist the thread and then you gotta eye it up and just right through.
I put it in my mouth. I licked it. Believe me, I had it stiff.
Do you have one of those little twine devices that you used to line it up?
I have a twine device. I'm trying to look at the hole, trying to get it. Like,
who's
get
got a twine
into...
device?
I have a twine device.
Why do you have a twine device?
Because it helps you thread the needle.
Who's got a twine device?
Like, I don't know anyone who has a twine device.
I don't have a twine device.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what they do.
I just happened to find a needle thread in the house. It was in a junk drawer, right? So I thought it was ahead of the game. But the needles all have the tiniest holes. Like, you have to almost have a magnifying glass to get the look and see the hole enough to get it in.
Did you have your tongue out when you were doing it with the...
It took me 15 minutes to get it in. I'm getting so frustrated. I'm getting the scissors. I'm cutting it. I got to lick it again.
Yeah.
But like I trapped like 10 inches off the thread to get it in.
That's tough. You need the twine device or a bigger needle.
The point is that these guys come back and they go, we still can't take it. What do I do?
Unless somebody have it. Somebody will pick it up. Somebody's son. Paulie, I got you a couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice sleeper, man. Yeah. You pull it out, yeah.
So I'm saying this is perfect for your small place. You're just getting started.
How'd you sew it? Did you do like a loop, swoop, pull?
Oh, man, I dug in there. I pinched it together.
Uh-huh.
And I wrapped it. Oh, it looked nice. I got to be honest with you. I did a pretty good job.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope they take it.
You can't even tell there was a hole there.
No.
And these guys look at that and zero in on that. And again, it looks like a nub. And I'm really going to not unhappy.
No, they can if it's a nub. You took the time to fix it, and they said that they would come back. They better go back and get it.
Yeah, I called this morning.
Okay.
And the lady, I go, the guy said that all I had to do was call, that I've corrected the problem, and they would come out and get it. And she goes, oh, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, come on.
So I go, well, I go, look, the two guys, right? You only have two guys that pick up the stuff. I just tell the guys, they'll know.
They should know. They know. If it's the couch and the chair, they'll know that they told you. How many couches and chairs are getting picked up from that area anyway right now?
Looks brand new with my clean job.
Right.
Scrub brushes out.
Yeah. It's all dried nice and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I hope.
Good. No water stains?
You know, it was wet when I'm left. I assume in the last 5 days it dried up.
Right.
All right. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour is ahead. Now, we're going to talk to Matt Breen about the Phillies and then all calls for the rest of the show. So if you want to line up, we'll get you in the 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show continues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is 4 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. All right, Fight Phil's back at it tonight after a day off. Chase Anderson on the mound, and they won a few in a row. We thought that they were a decent team, and you know, they lose 2 or 3 of the Braves. So they're a kind of a middling team until further notice. So let's find out how they can actually improve their team. And the story was written by our next guest in today's Inquirer about Chris Bryant. We welcome on the Comcast Business Hotline covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. Matt Breen joins us. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mike.
All right, Matt, let's talk about this Chris Bryant thing right out of the chute. Because obviously that bat would help, but they don't have a spot for him.
Well, they don't have a spot if you consider him as a third baseman, but he's been playing a lot in the outfield, and I just thought it was really interesting the last week. All of a sudden, Chris Bryant's playing center field 3 times last week in Chicago, and he's been the subject of trade rumors for more than a year now, and it just seems like the Cubs are showcasing him by saying to other teams, hey, Chris Bryant isn't just a third baseman. He also can play center if you need him to.
Matt, do you actually think he could be an everyday center fielder? He's 6'5" guy. He's never run anywhere.
But he's making it look easy. It's like, I'm writing a story yesterday, and I'm looking at defensive metrics and, watching some Cubs games to see how he does it, and then listen to his post-game interviews that he's done over the last month, and everybody's saying that he can handle center field. He's athletic enough to do it. I know it's crazy to think because we don't watch this guy every day, and you look at the size that he's similar in frame to Alec Boehm. Like, Alec Boehm probably can't play center field, but Chris Bryant, his entire life has been, you know, a freak athlete. Bryce Harper called him Silk when they were kids growing up in Las Vegas because he was so smooth with the way he played the field wherever he was at. And I think if you can put that bat in your lineup right now, the best hitter in baseball, if you can put him in your lineup, you can live with him in center field for 3 months.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
10 years, 3 months.
I can't see it. I really can't see you living with three months with him in center field. And occasionally, yeah, mostly like a left field type of situation. I think our eyes are too big for our stomach. That hole is so big that we're thinking unreasonable thoughts here. Now, Wrigley Field is also a tiny center field. Wrigley Field is a tiny center field too, and he's played there 3 times. Like, we don't have a frame of reference that he would be able to handle center field.
But is a Duval Herrera a Gold Glove center fielder? Roman Quinn, I think Scott Kingery playing center field. It's not like we're used to seeing amazing defense.
But my point is, you grind a guy up like that, asking him, taxing him defensively like that as a hitter. I think that's the other part of the equation.
Yeah, if the Phillies made this move, I think you would give a shot to play him in center field.
All right. And well, listen,
it's worth it.
The bar is so low that I think we're getting a little unrealistic about who can play center field. But all right, I got you. Now, are you hearing that they're really active in this?
It's so early that I don't even think trade discussions have started. It's the Cubs are 500. The Cubs are going to trade him most likely this summer. But when you have a guy like Chris Bryant, like I said, the best hitter in baseball right now, you don't trade him in May or June. You probably carry this to July to try to get the best offer because they're in a rebuild right now. So they're trying to get the best offer they can get. And there's going to be more than just the Phillies involved. But if you look at the history of Dave Dombrowski, this is the kind of trade that he's attracted to. If he thinks his team is ready to win, is a player or two away, he hasn't been afraid to make those types of moves in the past. Wherever he's been, every stop he's always made, he's always been able to push the chips in to get that kind of player. And, you know, it just, to me, it just makes sense for the Phillies. I'm not saying the Phillies are going to make this happen, but it makes sense for them to do it. And if you want to look at like an ideal package, you look at the Manny Machado trade from a couple years ago, again, that the Phillies were involved with. And what the Orioles got from the Dodgers was their sixth or seventh best prospect. He was number 73 in Baseball America's top 100. So it didn't cost, you know, the farm to get Manny Machado for the Dodgers, but I think you'll see a similar return. And if that's what it takes to get Chris Bryant, then it would be crazy for the Phillies not to do that.
All right. The only thing I can think of in accompaniment with the trade of Reese Hoskins, I think that then you play him at third, you play Boehm at first base, and you become a better team. But I mean, I don't know about the center field thing, but we'll see what happens. All right. So Chase Anderson tonight against the Nationals. Now, they've pounded Eric Fetty, so I don't know what's going to happen tonight. But there are a couple spots now. The bullpen now with Neris is questionable. What are they right now? It seemed that they were gaining momentum, and then they kind of gave it up with some bad baseball and, frankly, some bad managerial strategy against the Braves. So what are they right now, and how are you feeling about the manager, Joe Girardi?
Yeah, it's funny. They've won 5 of 7, right? So, you know, we're talking about a team that on paper is hot, but really, if you watch them this weekend, Saturday and Sunday might have been the two most, you know, deflating losses of the season, the way they lost Saturday and then just the way that they looked on Sunday, how flat they were. I think they're still a 500 team. They're still an average team. The starting pitching is not, you know, is especially at the back end, is just not good enough right now. The bullpen is shaky. I think we can talk about the double switches that Girardi made, but really that game's won if Hector Neris can just close out the ninth inning. He had two guys down to two strikes. And for me, I think I reevaluate who my closer is. If I'm Joe Girardi right now, I think you have other weapons that can be used back there. Or maybe you just, and I know this wasn't popular when Gabe Kapler did it, but I think this bullpen maybe calls for like a closer by committee. And you saw that last week when Neris wasn't available for a couple of days. They figured it out. They used Sam Coonrod, they used Brandon Kinsler, they used Alvarado to piece together the late innings. And I think you could do that every night. You don't have to have one guy pitch the ninth inning. You could have, you know, whoever's your best option that night pitch the ninth. It doesn't have to be Neris every night.
Is he out of rope? This has happened to Neris before where he's been dropped in into, you know, a lesser role. Are they at that point at this point, or they still want to trot him out there?
Girardi said twice this weekend that he's still the guy, that he's still the closer, but that's one blown save away, I feel like, from changing. I don't think it's, you know, you're talking about rope. He doesn't have much rope left, I would imagine, because he's had two blown saves. He's had the two losses that were tie games that he gave him up in the ninth inning. So I just think you have like a guy like Sam Coonrod who really looks excellent when you're using him in the seventh or eighth. I think that's, you know, maybe the next guy up at this point. And Archie Bradley's starting a rehab assignment tomorrow, so he could be here within the week.
All right, two questions about particular players here. And one is the Harper thing. His RBI total, he's really has not been delivering. Is he still banged up, or what are you hearing?
Well, the RBI total is misleading because just the chances he's had men on base.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just almost that's where RBIs kind of can be like a faulty stat because you can't drive in guys that aren't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think Harper, since he's come back, has not looked good. And, you know, that's the last week or so since he's been back from being hit in the face. But, you know, if you take before that, he was excellent. And I think maybe, you know, he's going through a rough patch right now. Not concerned about him. He's streaky his whole career. I think he'll be fine.
All right. And interestingly enough, there's been some grumblings about the way Real Muto calls a game and one or two pitchers maybe favoring Knapp to call it. Is he considered a good defensive catcher who can handle a staff? Is that his strength or not?
Yeah, he's an excellent defensive catcher in throwing, blocking, and all that. But I think some guys, such as Zach Eflin, prefer Andrew Knapp just because of familiarity with him. Andrew Knapp and Eflin, you know, started playing together when they were in AA in Reading. But Eflin's last start was with Real Muto, and he said after the game, it was Friday night's game, that, you know, JT called a great game like he always does. So it's how much do you want to believe in the fact that, yeah, Eflin is paired up with Knapp a lot, but then when he does get paired up with JT, like Friday, he looked excellent. And then he said after the game how good of a job he did game calling. I think sometimes game calling is a bit overblown. And I just feel like, you know, it's almost on the pitcher at this point.
Yeah, because it's his final decision. I just wonder, there are some times when he has called fastballs when a guy has had no clue to hit breaking stuff. And I just wonder what the mindset is there sometimes.
Well, and here's one that you just made me think of, that Neris, the pitch Neris threw with the home run that Pablo Sandoval was fastball. Should have been a splitter, but Nara said after the game that it was the pitch he wanted to throw. I'm guessing that he said that I want to, you know, throw my fastball here to set up my splitter is what his plan was. It wasn't, you know, he didn't say that was the pitch JT called for me. That was the pitch I wanted to throw. So
you remember in Bull Durham when Nukalush wanted to throw a certain pitch and Crash kept putting down the finger, you know, sometimes you got to keep putting down the finger now.
No, you
got
to teach
JT that. All right, Maddie. Listen, good to talk to you. We appreciate it. We'll see how they fare against these Nats.
And I hear you want to double Herrera in center field instead of Chris Bryant.
No, I don't want anywhere near Herrera. I'm just saying, like, the low bar here. I think we're getting so desperate that we're trying to fit something into a hole that's not conducive for it.
Yeah. All right,
man. You got it, Matt. Thank you, Matt Breen on the Comcast Business Hotline. You know, and that can happen too. You're like so desperate. You go, yeah, that guy can play center field. My instincts say no. That's not a good idea.
I'm going to wait on data because he's going to play more. So the trade's not going to happen yet. If he plays it at a high enough level, let's say he gets through the rest of May and then into June playing well. You got to make the call.
Well, we'll see. But like three games and in Wrigley Field and not enough time to go by to see if it's hitting a road. So I'd need to see that first.
Were they all home game? I don't know where he played, though. Were they all at home?
I think they were. Played three games in center field. I think they were all Wrigley.
All right.
We'll check it out. All right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Ryan in Frankfort. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
Family time. Not much. I was listening to you talk about how no NBA team has won it without a 1-2 or number 3 draft.
No, I didn't say any. I said most. The guy did research on it.
Yeah, but he missed his research on one, Mike.
What?
You mentioned the 04 Pistons team.
Yeah.
You forgot about
that. Yeah, we mentioned that.
Did you? Oh, yeah. I might have missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we mentioned the ones that were the outliers.
Oh, okay. But you said Detroit had a number 4 with Sheed and a number 8 with Rick.
Yeah.
But they had a number 3 with Chauncey Billups.
Oh, okay. Chauncey was the third pick in the draft. Well, there you go. They weren't an outlier then.
No, they weren't. No. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. But, yep, that's all I want to call in on, Mike.
All right, you got it, buddy. Appreciate the call. You know, earlier we brought up Marvin Barnes. And people have been emailing me, Marvin Barnes. He's a notorious figure here. This is the advantage of me living through various eras of basketball, right? And when you're a kid, you remember these specifically. The Marvin Barnes thing, you remember how there was one guy in the draft that was far above everybody else in football? It was O.J.,
yeah,
and the Eagles got the next pick,
right?
So they missed out on OJ.
Mm-hmm.
So it similarly happened to the Sixers in the 70s.
Wait.
They lost a coin. They were the worst team in the league, tied with Portland.
They lost a coin flip.
They lost a coin flip for Bill Walton.
Oh,
the second pick in the draft was Marvin Barnes. So there was a big drop off. Marvin, that was before you had salary structures for rookies.
Right.
So the Sixers gave him an offer. He said, that's not good enough. In fact, at his he had a press conference and he said, I'd rather work in a factory than sign for this.
I respect that.
That was the quote. I'd rather work in a factory than sign with the Sixers.
Yeah.
So he wound up signing with the Spirits of St. Louis in the NBA. So they lost. He went to the ABA. So the Sixers drafted him, never had him.
Well, that's just.
Now, he was a nutbag, Marvin Barnes.
If you're going to draft him, you got to pay him. If you're going to draft him.
It was a decent offer. It wasn't a low ball offer. Like, St. Louis, the Spirits of St. Louis couldn't have paid him that much more because they were kind of insolvent. But he wanted Walt money or something. I can't remember what the thing was. But he was like, he was a crazy guy. He had gotten into a lot of trouble in college, and he was an eccentric guy. And he's written about a lot in this book called Loose Balls. Which is the story of the ABA. So he's playing for the St. Louis Spirits. First of all, in high school, he got arrested for robbing a bus, part of a gang that attempted to rob a bus. The reason why he got arrested, that he was wearing his state championship jacket with his name on it.
Now, come on.
So they were able to identify him.
Why do people do that?
And he went in the juvie justice system. And he made his way to Providence. So as a player for the St. Louis Spirits of St. Louis, they were supposed to go to, they were traveling from Central Time or Eastern Time to Central Time. The Spirit of St. Louis, the PR director for the Spirit of St. Louis back then was Bob Costas.
What?
That's how he started in the business. He was he's from St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
He was the public relations director for the St. Louis Spirits when Marvin Barnes was the star player.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when he started doing the thing, he told them the guys to turn the treble all the way down and the bass all the way up to make him sound more adult. He told that story in an ABA documentary as the first time he was doing play-by-play because he sounded like a kid. So on the
right, so he did play-by-play for the team, too, because they had one employee. So he did everything, right?
Right.
That was the ABA. So Marvin Barnes, they're traveling from Eastern to Central, and it's like a one-hour flight. So he looks at the time, you're taking off, and you're landing back in time, basically. And he couldn't understand the concept, and he refused to get on the plane. And he said, his quote was, I ain't getting in no damn time machine. And refused to go on a plane and rented a car and got there late for the game. There's all kinds of Marvin Barnes stories that are hysterical.
He had never heard of time zones?
No, he never heard of time zones. He goes, I ain't getting in no damn time machine.
That's amazing.
Although,
he refused to get on the plane.
When I get older,
I mean, he's not wrong.
When I get older, I'm going to cheat time.
How are you going to do that?
When I get older, I'm going to cheat time by going little by little, extending my day by going back further and further.
Backwards.
Yeah. I don't want to do that at some point.
Wait, what do you mean?
Okay. Right now, it's 4:20.
Uh-huh.
Central is 3.
He wants more today. He wants to go to West Coast.
Go to West Coast, then do something in the West Coast for a while, and then go to Hawaii.
Okay.
And then
extending the day.
Huh.
I'm going to do that at some point. Like, I understand that the time still goes, but I'm going to do that as an older gentleman at some point. It's been a dream of mine my whole life.
Well, there you go. That's actually a good idea.
Weird. Wouldn't that trip you out?
You can pretty much write a book on that.
You could.
I'll probably keep track, and I slowly work my way. Travel probably has to get a little faster.
That's right around the corner with the, the flying cars and whatnot.
You're not afraid to get in a damn time machine, in other words.
No.
Would you ever have, could you evade your birthday?
Not forever, but for a while. Yeah,
I guess you could.
Right? If you mapped it out, you could just stay in one place for so long and then keep moving.
Yes, you could. You're going to get awful tired.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of work.
I'll lose the day back sleeping, but I'm still going
to
do it.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. Mike Missinelli Show. Come open lines. Good time to get in. 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get Twitter poll update at 4:30. It's 4:30 already. Wow. Homie Moyer Sons brings us the Twitter poll update. The future of the Sixers and how people are scared or not scared. Natalie, what are the numbers?
All righty, Mike. With the Sixers about to clinch the one seed, how confident are you they'll make a finals run? 53% are confident, 37% are somewhat confident, 10% are not confident.
Went up.
At all.
Well, it was naysayers. Mm-hmm. Went up a percent.
Yes.
That's interesting. What did you hear today would make you, less, I don't know. One more Marvin Barnes story because people are now, I forgot about this one. In college at Providence, he got into a beef with a teammate who was a starter, ran outside, got a tire iron out of his car, came back into the locker room, started beating the guy with it.
Oh my God. They didn't kick him off the team?
Nope. The guy's name, I forgot, I never remember the guy's name, Larry Kedvritis or something like that. Yeah, he got into a beef with him. It was a big tire iron story. They still got drafted number two, by the way.
Yeah, different world.
Yes, and on the flight was from Louisville to St. Louis. It was a 55-minute flight. It said departure 6, arrival 5:55. Freaked him out. Time machine wasn't getting on it.
Yeah, okay. I just can't.
He was a character, man.
Yeah,
he was just one of those characters.
It's like, and then meanwhile, we got people playing rock, paper, scissors. I mean, do a little draft evaluation before you take a guy second overall, Sixers. I don't care how good a basketball. I don't care how big a drop-off it is. Draft somebody who's not nuts.
Yeah, I hear you, but I guess he was the consensus second best player in the league. He was tall, rangy, could score inside, a big wingspan.
You do a fair amount of travel in the NBA.
Yeah. Let's go to Josh in Red Hill. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Josh?
Hope you're having a wonderful day. Listen, no wonder the Sixers didn't win anything back then. I don't know who was evaluating anything back then.
Was that the year they were coming off the 9-whatever year? Maybe the next year. They couldn't have been because they would definitely be number one pick.
I hope that GM was fired. I mean, I'm all for that. I mean, why would you take that guy? I mean, that guy was a mess. I mean, he had flags everywhere. Beating a guy with a tire iron, that's a mess.
Yeah, he was pretty much a mess, Josh.
Yeah, so.
But he was an ABA star. He scored a lot of points in the ABA.
Well, good for him. Yeah. I mean, good for him against that talent.
Yeah.
I guess they all came from Providence. I don't know.
No, that league was had some talent in it back then.
Oh, I know, but man, mm-hmm. how do you draft a guy that beats a guy with a tire iron? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
a guy deserved it. I don't know.
I'm the one who has the daughter with all the jerseys, and she bought another one with her own money too, Mike. She bought a new one.
Ah, that's right. Who did she buy now?
She bought the Embiid Liberty Bell with the last game we went to.
That's a good one. That's solid.
She told me to throw away the Shamit jerseys. He's now the enemy of the East in the Eastern Conference Finals. She is not worried one bit, and she can't wait till he gets whooped. So she is excited.
She's learning. Yeah. Now, what'd you do? You literally threw out the Shamit jerseys? Or did you give them away?
No, I didn't. I donated them. I donated them to another family who just got into the Sixers.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with the Shamit jersey.
I don't either.
All right.
They actually went to a game and they wore them. So.
Okay.
My question real quick to you is, if Ben doesn't play lights out Ben, is he gone next year?
No, he's not going to unless they would come up with a monster deal, which is probably unlikely.
And my next question to you is, do you think if they clinch tonight, are they going to play the Stars at all for the next 2 weeks, or do we see just a
skeleton crew.
You probably see a skeleton crew. Would there be any reason to play those guys a lot?
They play
because you want to keep them sharp, but, you know.
Yeah, I get worried with the break with those guys. I know they need rest, but.
Yeah, they wouldn't totally, like, you know, not dress them, but they would drib and drab them.
So you don't think Ben gets straight? Well, it's possible, but.
It is possible, depending on the level of frustration.
Okay.
You know, the level of frustration, if he costs them something, like he completely falls flat, then you're going to get a lot of sentiment. Now, it's up to them whether they're going to give in to the sentiment or hang with it. I don't know. I can't tell how they would react to that.
Yeah, and I'm definitely a Ben supporter. I mean, I hope he's the difference maker and he proves everyone wrong, and then no one can say a single thing because he's got a ring sitting on his finger.
Yeah.
So, of course, I mean, we all hope that, right?
I wouldn't trade him unless I got, like, one of the, you know, a star player, young star player in return. You know, would I trade him for De'Aaron Fox? I don't know. I would think about that. Would I trade him for Booker? Yeah, but they're not going to trade Booker. Would I trade him for Luka? Yeah, but they're not going to trade Luka. Like, it have to be that kind of a trade.
How about Tatum?
Boston wouldn't trade Tatum for Ben.
What about Jaylen Brown? They don't seem to work out.
Would you trade Ben for Jaylen Brown, Tyrone?
No. I trade him for Tatum.
I wouldn't either. I'm just throwing out a young guy.
Yeah.
I don't want a young guy back for Ben.
Who do you want?
Okay.
I want Dame Lillard.
A star player?
Yeah, I want Dame Lillard. Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, that's possible, too.
That's what I would do. And I'm trying to win a title next year.
You trading for De'Aaron Fox?
I would probably not. I mean, I would have to think about it, see how it goes. But more likely, I want a guy who can help me win a championship. Because Ben could still grow. If you're trading Ben, unless you've decided that this is as good as it's ever going to be, I want a win now player. I don't want to trade him for another guy that I'm waiting on to grow.
Because De'Aaron Fox would work. With the ball in his hands, he can distribute, he can score.
I don't know what kind of defense he plays. You still have to play defense unless you're an otherworldly scorer like Dane. If you can get me 60, I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
Dane, I don't know if Fox can get you 60.
No.
I know Dane can get you 60. If he gets you 60 and Ben gets you 40.
Why would he be available for Ben, do you think?
Because I think he's frustrated. This is the first time.
But he would have to dictate it.
I think he just would want out, and Ben would be the best they could get.
Okay.
People are like, they're not going to, the Kings aren't going to call and say, I'll give you Fox for, that wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, okay. All right, so the Sixers were coming off a 25-win season when they had they lost the coin flip.
All right.
And here's your squad. Doug Collins was a rookie.
He was the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. The year before, where they went 9-73. Right.
He was the first pick.
Freddie Carter was on the team. Steve Mix. Tom Van Arsdale. Oh, my God, this was a bad team. Larry Cannon from the Sal. Toby Kimball. Oh, God. All right, let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck!
Hello, everybody!
What's up, Chuck?
Not a whole lot. Look, I got to say something real quick. Mm-hmm. Last week, when you guys were talking about the Burger House, Tyrone, I got one for you. You guys can look it up. Franklin, Virginia, Walters Highway. This house stayed for sale for 5 years, and a local family owned it. My dad bought it. Never knew anything about it. A year after there, I find out from a friend of mine who I said, my dad just bought. Now, this is in Elizabeth City that's, you know, anyway. They're like, your parents bought that house? I was like, yeah. They're like, you know a family was murdered in that house. I was like, what? They said, yeah, the son had gotten out of prison and was on a drug thing. He needed some money, and his parents went, so he killed the mom in the house, took the dad out back, and beat him to death and tied him to a tree.
Yeah, see, I'm out. I'm out when it comes to it. Like, you know, there's no way. That house would be cursed for me. There's no way I could.
I couldn't go back.
I couldn't clean that house up enough to... You know, erase that.
My son, everybody, we never went back. And they sold that house last year. They only lived there for 5 years. And they sold it.
Well, I'm sure they got it at a great price with that kind of background.
Actually, I thought it was kind of high myself.
Oh,
anyway,
really?
I'm just saying, $325,000 for a 4,000-square-foot house on 60 acres.
60 acres?
60 acres, but you got to think that's down here. Up there, that's a fortune. Down here,
did you say six or 60?
60.
60 acres. Okay, all right. That's a lot of land. 325 for 60 acres.
Yeah,
with a house on it. I guess I'm judging it by Eastern, but 60 acres is 60 acres. That's substantial, man.
Yeah, I know.
You could subdivide that. You could do it, you know?
But you also live a mile from a paper plant, too, and it's stunk like coal.
Okay. So a couple flaws.
So anyway,
yeah.
I couldn't do it. Tyrone, you're the man if you can do that. But yeah, that totally
I'll put some cows on that property. Well, I can't. And at that point, if it's already smells, I'll make it a farm that smells.
I put up a mile and a half of electric fence by hand with a tiller, with an auger, by myself.
Well, that's because you can do that kind of stuff.
Well, we need more people that want to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so I was looking this morning on my phone, and I saw that Carson Wentz had the number 11. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I kind of looked into it, and it says, no, he's changed to number 2.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that's Jalen Hurts' number. And then the guy that answered the phone said, no, he's changed to number 1. What's going on? Why would he change to number 2? And you got fucking
he had number 1 before.
Who, Carson Wentz did?
No, Hurts.
Oh, Hurts has had number 1.
Yeah.
I thought he was number 2 at Alabama.
He was 2 and then 1 at Oklahoma.
Okay, well, I just thought maybe Carson Wentz decided to go to number 2 out of all the numbers. He's going to pick 2 because Jalen Hurts was number 2.
I don't know why he picked 2, but I would probably change my number 2, start my whole life over again. I changed
Well, you know, they have much better over in Indianapolis. But look, I'm really excited about the Sixers. I actually got my 76ers ball cap in last week. It's my first one, and my wife's going to look stylish in blue. So, you know, I got my little 76ers cap I've been sporking around. And so,
beautiful.
Anyway, you guys have been putting on a good show. Appreciate everything. You guys are awesome to listen to, and have a great day.
All right, Chucky. You got it, buddy. Yeah, I wish I had this kind of skills where I can put up a 50-foot fence with an
auger. Is there anything he can't do?
He grew up, you know, he's a guy that grew up doing that kind of stuff, learning that stuff.
Yeah.
That's not something I want to learn.
I would love to be more handy to be able to do stuff that, like, I would love to be able to fix a toilet.
Yeah, I would want to know how.
You're pretty resourceful.
Yeah,
Mike.
But I'm not like. There's certain things I go. You know, I don't touch this.
I wish I could frame out
like plumbing
thing.
Yeah.
The electric thing. Like I don't. I can't do that.
I wish I could frame out a room. Like let's say like in my basement is small. I wish I could frame it out, put the frame in, then put the door in, and make like my area sort of like an old. I wish I had that kind of skill. That would be useful. I wish I could change a transmission on a car. That would be useful. It's that kind of work. No.
Yeah. See, I got my buddy Bob is the greatest, and he's in the business, and so every time I got something, I call. So I had a toilet problem.
So he was able to come help you out.
Oh yeah. But now the normal guy would be able to like, okay, you replace this thing and. But I can't. I go no. I can't because I'll mess it up.
Right. I don't want to take a kind of chance. Right, where I'm flooding out my own house.
I mess it up.
Right.
So I call him over, and he fixes it, and he gives me a part. And he goes, all right, the next time it happens, put this in. I go, I ain't going to put that in. Why even give me the part?
Well, he handed me a Johnson rod. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to do with the Johnson rod.
Exactly.
What is this?
Here, I'll tell you what. You take the part, and when I have a next part, I'll call you again. How about we do it that way?
Right.
I've laid tile before.
Well, I tried to do that once,
I did it twice, actually.
See, I can't get it clean enough to go. That's why, like, there are people that do that stuff. I trust them.
Yeah.
And I don't need, like, I like to be resourceful. I like to save myself a couple some time and money sometimes.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff, I go, the experts do that.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate them.
I wish I could swap out a dishwasher.
I can't do that kind of stuff.
I can't swap out a dishwasher.
I'm pretty good with cars, too. I can, like... If you tell me what's wrong, I think I'm pretty good at like diagnosing
a car.
Yeah, cars. I swear to God,
you're lying on TV.
I swear to God,
what you mean? You can. What you know how to? What you know how to do?
Change
the oil.
And the headlight.
I said change the oil.
Yes, and oil.
You know how to change the oil.
Yes, I do.
All right.
What are you, the Marissa Tomei?
Yeah, like all of a sudden, after all these years, suddenly.
I did not show up with any sort of.
Change
an
oil.
Change the oil.
Wait, you put a car on a ramp?
Ask, my father will tell you. He showed me how to do it. I could do it if I had to.
That's not what I'm asking, see?
I would do it if I had to.
I'm saying, do you do it?
No, I don't have to change the oil. I just went 21. You have done this.
You put a car on a ramp and climbed underneath and changed the oil.
My dad did, and then I went under and did it. Yes.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, I used to do that with my little Fiat. Yeah.
Because that was...
Well,
you know,
this was when I was like 21 and driving a vehicle that had a million miles on it. So I know how to... Marissa Tomei all of a sudden. Look, you guys agree? I don't trust hidden talents. You never ask.
That seems like something that would have came up over the last.
I'm just saying,
years.
I'm pretty good with cars. I like the machinery.
You change
the
spark plugs and the points and all that. Carburetors.
In my old car, I knew how to do like the spark plugs. I could tell the way that the belts, all that stuff.
Really?
Yes, and generally...
You got the right gap for the spark plug because it's got to be calibrated.
Right? Yeah, and then you take it out and then you go into the place and ask them, you know, which one you need. Yeah, I'm pretty good with it. And my roommate used to, whenever she was having car problems, my old roommate, I would open her hood and I'd generally be able to tell her.
So if my lawnmower gets messed up, like if something goes wrong with it, you're going to come over and diagnose it?
I would like to attempt to. It's kind of fun for me.
This is blowing me away here.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I haven't had to do it in years, but yeah, when I was in my early 20s, I didn't have any money to get things fixed. I had to piece things by, you know?
What a catch.
All new info.
610.
Fred doesn't need my help anyway. He's automatic.
610-632-0975. Some open lines now. All right, Sixer, we're going to round into this home stretch here with this Sixer thing. And I'm going to try to talk you, the 10%ers that are out there who aren't hopeful, I'm going to try to tap into you. And I want you to true confession, because we're going to lay it out logically here. 3-minute break, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.448, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, Sixers tonight can clinch the number one seed with a win over the Pacers. Somebody's telling me that line is going down, Tyrone. Is that line going down in the Pacers' favor?
It did, but now it's going to move again because the Pacers announced a bunch of players being out.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to move again. It was like 6.5. It was down to 5.5. But it's going to move. So we probably got to give it another like 20 minutes or so. It's going to move again because Brogdon, Jeremy Lamb, Edmund Sumner, and Miles Turner, and TJ Warren are all out.
Well, in that case, you might as well just take this one and get it over with.
Yeah, at this point, you just go ahead and close it out. I think Doc was probably hoping the rest of the guys, play Friday against the Magic, play everybody, then sit everybody Sunday, and then have the time off during the play-in time. But you might as well just go ahead and handle your business tonight. So I think the line's going to end up moving again.
Yeah.
Because of all those guys.
Who's going to play this Friday in that game?
On the second of a back-to-back?
Yeah.
What we have to hope is that they sit everybody against Miami in an effort to not give them anything.
Yeah, we might as well sit him the next night, too.
Nah, and then you're playing Friday.
Oh, you're playing Friday?
At home.
Yeah.
At home as a gift. Because then Sunday is also going to be, apparently every game on Sunday is going to be a day game, I guess, so they can try to get the playoff schedule going.
Okay.
So.
All right.
But there hasn't been an update yet since they announced everybody was out. That was 4:00, the last update. So if the line moves again, I'll let you know.
Okay, so it's at Indiana and Miami Thursday, Orlando Friday at home, Orlando Sunday at home.
Right.
And that's your regular season, mm-hmm. And then we just await the playoffs. And so when we're looking at it here logically, Do you can't possibly believe the Sixers would lose four games to any of the first two teams they play, which look like it's likely to be Indiana and then either the Knicks or Hawks. Could they possibly lose four? No, I can't imagine that they could lose. Like, it would be a ridiculous result if they lost that any one of those series. So logically, they can't lose it. So what do you got to look for? The final series is either going to be the Nets or Bucks, most likely the Nets. The Nets are what? We don't know at this point. If all three of those guys are on all cylinders and they beat the Sixers, you go, they had three stars playing. And you go, all right, what? They were better.
Three agent stars. What you could think is then we need to tweak a little bit. We come back next year better, more experienced, and next year's the title year.
Right, but if they get to the finals, you look at it and you go, okay, the West is pretty good. All right, they are, but the Sixers are a defensive-oriented team. The only team that I believe can have success against that defense are multi-stars who can score. That's where the Nets come in. But the West, they don't have multi-guys that can score that the Sixers, in my opinion, could not defend.
Yeah, also, I think the Sixers' defense, the best of their defense is still ahead. I think Doc has held things back. We've seen times where Embiid blitzed the pick and roll, for example. Mm-hmm. He's been very cautious, I think, with that because you don't want the big man running around like that over 72 compacted games. But in the playoffs, where there are no more back-to-backs, they don't exist. Mm-hmm. And early in the playoffs, you're getting sometimes 2-3 days in between, depending on how they line this up. I think that you'll see a more aggressive pick-and-roll defense that will blow things up and make it more frantic, mm-hmm. which will be advantage Sixers with all that length that they have.
Okay, so where is the reticence coming from, do you think?
We're panicking. So they'll say pass failures in quotes. Now, I'll give them the Boston. Okay, although that team was too young and they weren't ready, if we're being realistic. We didn't think it in real time, but Celtics were too mature at the time and the Sixers were immature. They weren't ready yet. Toronto was just better. They had the best player in the world that particular year in Kawhi, and it was a quadruple bounce that knocked you out. And then last year, Ben Simmons was hurt, and that team, and Richardson didn't fit, and Horford was stealing money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they'll look at those two examples, though. They'll look at Boston, especially, which was years ago now, and then they'll look at last year with Horford and Richardson and say, see, that's why I can't jump on. This team is different. That's why they were the 6th seed last year and they're the 1 seed this year. It's different.
I'm just trying to tap into the reticent people. And I'm telling you to step away from the heartbreak that you felt, the past disappointments. Take that out of the equation. I know it's difficult, but come outside your body and look at it logically and go, okay, where could we be in real trouble? Maybe the Nets. But like before, we knew we were going to be in trouble against the Nets. But it's maybe now because you don't know what they are. So I feel like pretty comfortable that the Sixers can play for the NBA championship and actually win it. We'll take a break. We'll come out at 5 o'clock hour with your phone calls on the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock, and it's the Mike Missinelli Show. 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window door, get the second one at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, I just saw a tweet from Daryl Morey. As you know, the playoff capacity is going to be 50% now of capacity, the building capacity, so you're going to be able to get 10,000 in there for the playoffs, which is big. That's going to create a lot of noise. And Daryl Morey tweets this. What I'm mostly excited for with the announcement that we will have 10,000 fans in the playoffs is that during opposing team lineup introductions, the players will now for sure how much they truly suck.
Yeah, I like that.
You're a fan of that? General Manager coming out?
Yep.
Throwing that out there?
I love
Natalie,
it.
Natalie, you like that?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Why not?
All right.
It's the spirit.
That's what the fans are going to do.
Yeah.
So you might as well embrace it. He's not going to talk them out of it.
All right.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
You don't like it.
Also, all capacity restrictions for businesses and private gatherings will be lifted by June 11th in the city.
If people keep on doing the right thing.
Right. And so just the restrictions, they will ease it up on May 21st. And starting May 21st, offices will have no density limits, masks required unless a person is in a room alone. Retail, museums, and libraries, no density limits. Restaurants, indoor seating, 50% capacity, or 75% if the restaurant meets the heightened ventilation standards. And the chairs can now be spaced 3 feet apart rather than six. Also, you'll be allowed to serve alcohol at the bar without food. Gyms and indoor pools, 50% capacity with 3 feet of distancing between groups. Indoor gathering and theaters, 50% capacity with 3 feet of distancing between groups. And outdoor catering events, 50% capacity, no maximum occupancy. Catered indoor events, 25% capacity, maximum occupancy of 125 people. So there, a little update. And one other thing before we get back to the phones. I know how you feel about this, Ty, because I know he's your man, and you might be hurting along with him. But A-Rod, seen for the first time since he was been in hiding, heartbroken about the Jenny thing, especially the news that she's now hanging out with Ben Affleck. He was shocked, according to sources, by the development, as he believed that he and Lopez could reconcile. He has been reaching out to J-Lo, trying to meet with her, and she has been very short with him. Well, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, J-Lo's going to do what she's going to do. A-Rod would be wise to just move on.
I mean, what did he think? Like, he was going to go mess around with Southern Charm Girl and she was just going to sit around and wait for him after he won it?
Yeah. Well,
sometimes you got to learn the hard way.
Or what did she think? She was going to keep on stringing him along, canceling the wedding, and he wasn't at some point going to wonder why she didn't really love him. So I think that...
he cheated on her!
After she did that several times, delayed the wedding. Yeah, I like I said...
I love this.
Yeah, he cheated on her.
It's like that's pro J-Lo and Tyrone's pro A-Rod.
Yeah, I don't understand anyone being pro J-Lo.
I love her.
With her past. You know, at what point do we recognize that this woman's bad at relationships? At what point?
Well, she definitely picks the wrong man.
He's good, by the way. He's good. He's real good.
No. And to go back and to go back with that guy who's had all kinds of issues. All kinds of issues.
No, she definitely picks the wrong man. I'll say that. However, it's probably that's her problem. She picks the wrong men
who fought over her. Is what she does.
She needs a normal dude.
If you got to be a celebrity, you got to fought over. You're in.
No, she's dated regular guys.
Yeah, dumped that poor guy.
She dumped them all.
He's now like three teeth in a bar drinking wild turkey, looking at her on the TV screen. Feeling sorry for himself.
Casper Smart's not.
I was talking about Chris Judd.
No, Chris Judd was a nobody, and it was always good. But Casper Smart, she lifted up out of poverty, and now he's doing all right. The bottom line is that she's bad at relationships. You're better off A-Rod.
Yeah, because A-Rod cheating on her is great at relationships.
I think that the cheating was caused by J-Lo.
I'm such an imp.
I
think it was caused by something else.
Yeah, I think it was caused by
J-Lo. I don't think he thinks with his head.
You love somebody, and then she says, hey, I want to spend the rest of my life. And she goes, I do, except not now. Let's push it off.
So let me run after some star wannabe reality TV star when I have J-Lo?
Sooner or later, I need
a multi-platinum recording artist, actress.
Yeah, I don't. None of that comes into the relationship. The only thing that comes in the relationship is the money. I don't care about your grabbies. Oh, you never want to grab me.
Sorry, Montana.
I don't care about Mark Anthony's grabbies that you try to lie
on. Yeah, now A-Rod's feeling it because he knows he messed up by going after some clout chaser.
Hey, man, they're cozied up in Montana, that new couple.
Yeah.
And A-Rod ain't getting in the state.
He's in there high as a kite.
We're
throwing
in Montana.
Up in the bathroom. Throwing up in the toilet. Hopefully in the toilet. He's throwing up somewhere
that's going to Marie in Philly, who's just blown away by Natalie's car knowledge. Marie!
Hi. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Marie.
So So, you know, I was listening, and I
this is your friend,
well.
Marie.
This is my old
this
roommate.
This is Natalie's buddy, Marie. Hello, Marie.
I know Natalie very well, and I just want to vouch for her car knowledge, because on multiple occasions, she has correctly identified my car issues.
Wow.
And I can say that. One, specifically off the top of my head, my car was smelling like gas. And Natalie was like, you know what? Let's open the hood. We opened the hood, and she found out that they had left the oil tank off. They had left it open. And she even checked my oil to make sure it was clean.
She diagnosed it. Now, have you ever actually seen her under the hood or under the car?
She will open up the hood and then get in there.
She'll get in there. All right. Exactly. Now, have you ever seen her, like Marissa Tomei, change a tranny? Have you seen her do that?
No. It's more than I
I would say no.
All right. So, see, this changing the oil thing, I don't know, like, if I can buy her under the car with the oil change, cording all over the place.
I would say no.
Can you verify that, Marie?
I mean, she didn't change my oil. She checked to make sure it was clean.
Yeah, I can check an oil. You know, I'm talking about sliding underneath it, you know?
Well, you have to have one of those things to slide under there. We don't have one of them. I think she
wants
it.
Well, you can crawl under that if you got it on a ramp. Yeah, you don't need the slide thing. Have you ever seen her do that? Would she have gone to that extent in her younger day?
Probably, yeah, probably.
All right, because she changed the tire. Has she changed the tire?
Yes.
You took a long time for that answer.
I had to remember. And she's also put air in tires, too.
She put air in the tires.
Where the light goes away and it's completely correct.
Now, she claims that this spark plug thing, she's done that before. And I'm finding it hard to believe, the spark plug thing.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you what a spark plug was to confirm that. All right.
Well, listen, it's good that you're sticking up. It's good for
you. If you have a problem, ask her. She'll figure it out.
All right, so she can sniff it out. That's good enough for me. That's key. Because, like, you know, I don't know, she's with a guy. Now, her guy right now, I'm not so sure he gets under the hood of a car. So it could come in handy. You know?
People take advantage.
You know, Henry Hill over here.
Girl, you don't know anything.
Yeah, I'm not thinking Henry Hill's changing the oil. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, Marie, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. There's Marie.
I've been by her car side for a long time, so she heard and she's like, I have to call in.
Yeah. You know, in a way, I think it's, if you're with a guy that has no skills like that, the fact that you can diagnose something is a bonus. Now, Tyrone, do you draw the line at somebody who has the greasy mechanic fingers for a girl?
I don't care about that. Save me money. Money's helps.
All right, so you'll be okay with a girl get under the hood and dig in there.
Yeah, so much so that it's setting up that we're going to get a car for the parking lot. It's already in the works. This is happening.
Oh, and we're going to. She's
going to do it.
She's going to have to change the oil on YouTube.
Wait, this is really exciting.
It could be.
No, I'm up for the challenge. Like, this excites me. I'm not afraid.
Do you have the tools?
No, I don't have the tools.
Okay,
hold on.
We're
going to get the car and the oil. The rest is you.
All right, fine.
That's how.
Can
that's
I expense
happens.
It with the company? I'm not paying for these tools out of pocket.
You can borrow. I'm sure.
Now you're going to have to borrow those tools.
Okay.
And then the company's going to get the car here and the oil and the oil filter. And then you go do what you do.
All right, fine.
Because a matter of fact, wait a minute. At the bottom, you shouldn't be that hard to loosen. You're only hand tightening the filter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the filter, but you got to get the valve. You might need an Allen wrench or something to get the
valve off. Yeah, to pull the thing down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Am I supposed to be afraid of this?
No. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Oh.
Because I don't think Ty is buying the whole thing.
Hell no, I'm not buying it. Absolutely not buying it.
Why?
I'm waiting until I see it. Because I don't believe anyone's hidden talents until I see them. That's a rule
I
have.
It's not even a hidden talent. It's just something I learned and I'm able to do.
Mrs. Tomei grew up around it. Maybe Nat grew up around it.
I'm not saying she didn't. What I'm saying is that it didn't come up. That's the fault.
Yeah,
I feel like that would have come up before over years of friendship.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's why I don't believe any hidden talent.
Yeah, that's a little shaky.
One time I was walking through a music store.
What if he's ever asked me about cars?
Could play, I found out somebody randomly, they said they could play a Glamorous Life, the song.
Uh-huh.
I didn't believe it, so I made the person get on the keyboard at this music store and play it. And the person could play it, and then I believe. When it comes to hidden talent, I don't take anyone's word. You got to tell me what you could do in the first, 6 months of me knowing you, or I just go the rest of my life.
This isn't a talent, though.
It changing oil's a talent.
No, it's not.
Oh, that's an impressive talent.
It is an impressive talent. Let's face it. Now, you're very fashionable, and you don't look like the Dirty Fingers type.
Well, what's funny is I'm not. I don't like dirt or anything like that, but right, there's something, I don't mind the car thing.
We're trying
it's
to get
weird.
Past that part of it, where, you know,
there is
a good amount of press in you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not that I think you couldn't learn to change oil or you're not capable. You made the point of that you have.
Yes, I've learned to, and my dad showed me how to do it, and I got under the car and did it.
You can't shortchange the dad influence.
Really?
He showed me how to change brake pads.
Hidden talent. Like if Mike told me he could tap dance now,
yeah,
I would need to see him tap dance before I would believe it. Even if somebody called and said, yeah, he toured Europe back in the day.
Really? So you wouldn't take a good witness?
I don't take, no, if it's hidden talent, I take nothing. Until
it's not a hidden talent, it's just something that I learned over the course of my life that I'm capable of doing.
It's a talent.
I don't think it's a talent. It is a talent for
I think a lady who would not normally think would be able to do that.
Well, it's
so
just,
that's why we're interested in it.
It was just a worst, you know, never get stranded on the side of a dark road situation. Yeah. I needed to know how to get myself out of it. That's what it was.
I believe,
you know.
It. And I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We're going to make that happen. Let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Well, that Marie, her voice sounds just like Nikki Glaser. I kid you not. Is she a blonde?
I don't know. Is Marie a blonde? No, she's not.
I would say no.
Let me get down to business.
Yes.
I'm very concerned about the baseball team, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
What we have seen through 60 games of last season and through 35 games of this season is a continuation of the Kapler-Klentak regime, punctuated by a pathetic bullpen. Mike, I don't see any resolution in sight. How about you?
How are you so down on one team where you're so uncontrollably up on another? Another team that you're up on could stink, and you'll proclaim they're going to win a Super Bowl. Here in the Phillies, it's 32 games in, and you have no idea, and they possibly could win a division with a mediocre team, and you're down on them. I'm trying to figure you out, Dave. I'll go the rest of my life. I won't be able to do it, but I'm trying.
It's the Mikey Miss eye test. It works, believe me.
You got the eye test on the Phillies that they can't win this mediocre division.
Mike, 35 games in, it's a continuation of what we've seen the last 2.5 years. It's getting old. But
they are what they are, but the rest of the division also is what they are.
Oh, yeah, the Braves are going to finish 80-82 this year.
Well, I don't know. It's possible. I mean, the Braves aren't lighting it up. The Mets are in first place right now. They got their problems. Their ace is just probably going on the DL.
Yeah, by the way, the run differential with the Marlins is way to the plus side. Dangerous baseball.
The Marlins, they're plus 17. They're still in fourth place, bro.
Yeah. Mike, you missed out of the good stuff.
Yes, God.
What a shame the NBA.
The way he just changes to the next subject.
Well, right. Because we have 2 minutes.
Mike. All right, go ahead.
What a shame the NBA season is not a full 82 games. I'm pretty sure the Sixers would lock down overall. Best record throughout. Now, the Sixers are the flavor of the day, the flavor of the month.
Mm-hmm.
But out west, all Phoenix and Utah do is win, win, win.
Yeah, they do.
Yet the Clippers are the flavor of the month.
Well, the Clippers have two supreme players that people think they can count on better in a playoff situation.
Oh, Mike, you mentioned Doug Collins. Let me tell you something about Doug Collins, and you all attest to this. Mike, before he hurt his feet, he had a wicked
say his first step. He was perpetual motion. He never stopped running. And I know a lot of times offensively he had acquiesced to Dr. J and McGinnis and Daryl Dawkins, but there were some nights Dougie Collins could not be stopped. He'd have 20.
No, I totally agree with you. He may have been one of the top five movers without the ball in the NBA ever. That's all he did. Moved off the ball. He ran, and never stopped. In a way, he was a more talented J.J. Redick. Always moving off the ball, finding the screens, getting loose.
Well, was he a snake-like?
No. He was not a snake. Doug Collins did not have a podcast where he, you know, would put in the knife. Jeff and Ambler, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Not much. I wanted to talk about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I really want them to get Chris Bryant. I mean, he's going to be so much better than Odubel. Bryant's actually played more games in the outfield this year than he has third.
He's played three.
No, he hasn't. He's played like 15.
I don't think so.
15 games at third. Yes, he has.
All right.
The one week.
All right, so he's playing left field. He's played left field a lot. He's played center field three times.
Okay, in the last week? Would you rather have
He's played center field three times. Okay,
okay, would you rather have him or Herrera?
Well, see, you're missing the point. You obviously, Chris Bryant's a better hitter. Chris Bryant cannot play full-time center field. It's going to be a nightmare. He can't run as a center fielder. You're going to not catch anything out there. It sounds good. Practically, it's not. You just can't plug a guy in and go, you made the same mistake. Well, put Harper in center field. I mean, well, Harper can't play center field. Why? Well, first of all, he's not fast enough to cover that much ground. Second of all, you're going to wear down a guy who's a hitter.
Okay, I thought you were going to put that stance. How about this? How about if they trade for Bryant, put him at third, put Boehm at first?
I'm okay with that, but you still got to find a center fielder.
Trade Hoskins for a center
okay,
fielder.
Okay, I'd much rather do that than have Chris Bryant play center field every day.
Okay, I didn't expect you to jump on me.
The problem with it sounds better than it really is. A guy like that, you can't expect to play every day center field.
Okay, you wouldn't want him for 3 months in center field.
No, he wouldn't be able to get to anything. You know, you're missing routine fly balls would turn into doubles. That would break down your pitchers.
Okay, then scratch.
And then you're wearing down his legs. He's a hitter. Okay. Needs his legs.
All right, I got you.
All right.
Hey, quick question.
Yes.
Last Friday, you and Tyrone were talking about LeSean McCoy with the tipping.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you felt bad, like, if you get bad service, not, you know, leaving a tip.
Yeah, I never leave less than 20%.
I don't either, but my solution to that problem, I've done it twice, is if you get real bad service at the end of the night, you get the check, and then you take the check over to the manager, and you say, listen, my service wasn't really good. I'm not going to stiff him.
Yeah, but I don't do that either, because then the guy's going to get fired. And that's like the Seinfeld with the bus boy episode. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bury somebody who's trying to make a living, getting tips. You know, maybe they had a bad day that day. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of crap they had to deal with in the restaurant all day. I don't know why I got bad service, but I'm not going to punish a guy like I'm King Tut or somebody. You know?
No, I'm not going to punish him now. No. What I will do is, if there's somebody being bad at the job, I'll go to the boss and say, such and such, such and such, such and such, and such and such did a really good job, and leave that person out. I have done that.
Yeah, well,
I praise the people around them, like, hey, this guy, this girl, they were fantastic. Thanks so much. And then just leave. He can infer whatever he wants to infer after that. All I did was give positive reinforcement to a boss.
Yeah, that's good. But, you know, I don't feel the need to do that. I just go, okay, you serve me, and that's great, and here you go. Here's what you're supposed to get as a tip, whether it's the same or whether it's bad. I'm not going to, like, judge somebody who's trying to make a living through tips.
No, they say that's why the workforce is having trouble. They're trying to hire people Bad tippers are a good reason why restaurants right now are having trouble hiring people, because people go back and say, okay, I'm going to make $2 an hour, and then Johnny and Jimmy are going to stiff me. So I'd rather go do something else.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening right now all over the country right now.
Yeah, I don't understand this stiffing people. I don't get it. Like, what do you get out of that? What is that? Is that power?
It's power.
Like, what? Really?
Yeah, it's so unnecessary.
That's what you need? You need that kind of power over somebody trying to make a living?
And I see those people that on Facebook, not Twitter, it's a Facebook thing where people will explain why they nobly didn't tip. Well, this happened and I had to wait, and they do that, and all I ever think when I see it is you're a bad person.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing, but they try to lay out this noble reason of why. If this was good, oh, I would have tipped heavily, but blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, half the stuff they complain about might not even been the server's fault.
Most of the time, it's not.
Kitchen, all kinds of stuff.
Like, and especially,
reasons.
Like, if you're waiting long for a table, like, that's not the waitress's that's fault right. or the waiter's fault.
But, yeah, there's a lot of bad people out there. We should work on that.
Absolutely. And, come on. You gotta tip somebody 10% because your service was bad. What? You came to a restaurant. You would have tipped anyway. Now you're going to judge and save yourself a couple dollars. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory, where better gets made. Find one near you at PhillyPretzelFactory.com.
The John Kincaid Show.
Sixers can take advantage. Win tonight. You are the number one seed. It's why you hired Doc Rivers. Leadership, stability, vision. That is a combination of skills that Brett Brown just couldn't deliver.
Anthony Gargano.
The Flyers mercifully ended the season. Unfortunately, it all came crashing down yet again. The last time they were consistently good was during the Lindros era. What has to change?
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I think their main competition still is the Nets, because the Sixers' strength is how they can defend. With the Nets, it's a little different. You can handle one of the options. I love you can handle all three of the options.
Listen all day, every day, to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. They're shopping Doylestown. You can order online at paulbmoyer.com or call them. Put your order down. Pick it up. Contactless. Safe. All right, Natalie, the final numbers.
All righty, Mike. Final numbers on today's poll. With the Sixers about to clinch the one seed, how confident are you they'll make a finals run? 53% say confident, 37% say somewhat confident, 10% say not confident at all.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right. I just heard from my buddy Stevie Crown Royal. You know Stevie Crown Royal, Todd, I think. You met Stevie before.
Yeah.
He just proposed a trade in case the Ben thing goes bad in the playoffs and the Sixers get defeated and we all go through disappointment, and you said you would trade him for Dame. So yeah. So he says, okay, would you do this? Sixers get Dame and Rocco. The Blazers get Ben, Maxey, George Hill, two future first round picks.
It's too much. You don't have to give up that much.
Okay.
Yeah, so no. Maxey's staying. I don't need to trade Maxey in that trade.
Okay.
Nah.
You're out.
No, I'm out because I think it's a bad trade. I'm going to give you Ben Simmons, and then I don't want Rocco, and I'm at salaries. The reason I don't want Rocco is I can't have Rocco and Thybulle. They don't both make sense because I can't play them both because neither one of them creates off the dribble. Mm-hmm. Rocco doesn't create. It's not. I'm not taking a shot at Rocco. He doesn't make sense with Thybulle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need two non-creators like that. So, nah.
All right, by the way, I just this guy Scott just emailed me. Here's talk about tipping. He's a waiter. So Mother's Day, $175 bill. Three people, lobster tails, fillets. Zero tip.
No, no. That means they
basically... See, that's those people should be arrested.
Yeah, because that guy has to tip out the kitchen most times. So basically, he paid them to eat when you don't tip at all.
Possibly do, unless you completely forgot. Like, it's almost impossible.
And that's a credit card.
Yeah.
They didn't pay cash.
Come on. Let's go to Derek in Oxford. Derek, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Derek.
Yeah, man, you're going to have to talk me off the ledge, man.
All right.
I think the Sixers are good enough, but then I'm afraid of, because Ben Simmons is a liability.
He's a liability. He's not a liability.
Yeah, yeah.
If he gets aggressive offensively, you don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs this year.
No, stop it. I mean,
you don't. I mean, listen, he's had moments where he was ultra aggressive this year offensively, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, then why can't that happen in the playoffs?
Well, when the beat wasn't there, he's a liability because they're going to just not play him. He reminds me of Maurice Cheeks, and they wouldn't play him. They would drop off and
What are you talking about? Maurice Cheeks made jumpers all over the place.
Don't stop it. The year they won the championship,
he made jumpers all
over. He had 8 or 9 points a game.
Come on, man. I got to go. All right, let's go to Jimmy in Southwest Philly. Jimmy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jimmy!
What's up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Dose. I was a long-time caller with the Cubs for a while. I haven't called in about 12 years, but I appreciate you. Guys, Nat, Ty, love how you approach some topics with discretion and smooth cat. So I was watching NBA live to see the national opinion of the Sixers, and they said they are the number one team today, but Harden comes back tomorrow, so they'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to see.
The reason why I'm calling you is after NFL Live came on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm infuriated. 40-year fan. I'm a 4-for-4 guy. Kind of, you know, they talk about the Phillies and all that, and I'm a Phillies fan and Eagles, so I'm used to the disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
But the athletes of the day, today's athletes, are, you know, it's a different breed. I just heard Devontae Adams interviewed on NFL Live, and he said that Aaron Rodgers has put his body and his life on the line for the Green Bay Packers. He put his life on the line? After the COVID this year and everything that we dealt with in our military, like, what? How disrespectful is that? That you put your life on the line?
Well, he's making a point that his team is not appreciating him, and maybe he went
football
players kind of do, don't they? I mean, you know, that's not an easy thing to do, to get crunched up every week. I get where you're offended. I think he went overboard to make a point about Green Bay not appreciating what they have.
But I believe that's the mindset, Mike. Like, I believe that's the mindset of today's athletes, is that to say something like that so nonchalantly that they're that important.
Yeah, I think you're taking it a little too seriously.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
He's asked about the team, all right? So in the context of that, he's gone, wait, this organization is not going to appreciate this guy? That's okay. What I think he was trying to say.
So your radio station, they're having a little bit of a problem with Tyrone Johnson. You defend him. Would you ever say you put his life on the line?
Well, it's not football, so no.
So how many football players were killed in the line of duty?
Well, listen, I get your point, but I think you're going just a little too far with it here.
Quite a few players have died. I think Andre Waters, for example, died in the line of duty. I think Junior Seau died in the line of duty. I actually think that football players...
It's cumulative to the point where their brains could turn to mush. Right. We've always talked about that. So in that context, that you're missing the point. But I think he was just trying to back up Aaron Rodgers. So
not, yeah, I think that maybe he's exaggerating, but I can't, that's one of the things where I'm a little uncomfortable with football.
Yeah.
Because I kind of think the guys, a lot of them are putting their lives on the line. They're getting paid. Some of them, not all of them. Some of them are getting paid handsomely. But I think some of them literally are putting their lives on the line.
Yeah, I tried to make that point to the guy that it's not easy to go out there and get bashed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, come on. There are certainly more important topics to worry about, what Devontae Adams said about supporting his quarterback. It's his quarterback.
Right.
You know?
That also,
so it's a special relationship.
That also shows you that for people out there who think that, oh, Aaron Rodgers is not a leader, at least one wide receiver wants to ride with him. So
yeah.
Not as well, listen, saying
you
got to
be an idiot if you're a member of the Green Bay Packers and you know, the guy makes you successful. I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out.
Right.
All right, let's go Jack in Bucks County. Jack, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jack.
Good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Jackie?
Mike, I need your guidance.
Mm-hmm.
I got drunk. And I changed my name.
Celine Dion? Did you guys?
Natalie Eganoff.
You changed to Natalie Eganoff. No, this is interesting. All right. So, Nat, how do you feel about that?
I'm flattered.
But, Mike, there's an additional problem.
What's the problem?
I keep going up to people saying, can I change your oil? Can I change your oil?
See, Nat, this is now... It's a whole new life part of you that has been released.
I have 37 people lined up to get their oil changed.
There you go. There you go. So the cocoon, you came out of the cocoon now as a car mechanic.
Mm.
People will never forget this now. This is now permanent.
Can the original Natalie help me change some oils on cars?
Nat's oil change. Well, this could be a good business venture.
We could go in.
You know, instead of the Jiffy Lube, it'd be a Natty Lube.
Let me get serious for a moment. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, get serious.
Okay. Reese Hoskins.
Yes.
One third of the times that he's come to the plate, he has struck out.
Yeah.
He's walked 9 times. Out of 133 times to the plate, he's walked 9. This is the guy who apparently used to pride himself, I guess, on getting on base. He's walked 9 times. He's not putting the bat on the ball, striking out a third of the time. The other day, he struck out 4 times.
Yeah, I don't know how that's. I really don't know how that's possible. Strike out 4 times.
And then they use him as a pitch hitter, and he struck out at that. So that was 5 times in a row. The man struck.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on with the strikeouts with him, because he had that same swing, and he wasn't striking out before when he first came.
Yeah. At one point, he was leading baseball, I think, in home runs with 8. And now he's like 13th or 14th. Everybody's passed him.
Yeah, he's in a funk right now. So we'll see what happens.
So I hope that trade does take place. And we get Brian from Chicago. And somebody will take advantage of us and take Reese Hoskins off our hands. And we wind up with the center fielder.
Yeah, well, we'll see. The alternative is just put Chris Bryant out there and see what you got. But, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be successful.
I think I got to get more data. I think we'll get more data over the next couple of months.
Yeah. This guy, there's always people out there to give you info, right? So, like, I don't pay attention a lot to the stats of it. So this guy goes, okay, Major League Baseball has recorded player sprint speed since 2015. It measures maximum running speed during the season. The fastest players max out at just over 30 feet per second. The average player runs 27.0 per second. The average center fielder runs at 28. Bryant is less than that. It ranks him near the bottom of all center fielders that would qualify.
House's first step.
The problem is you have to track balls in spacious areas and center field. So if his sprint speed is not good, tracking balls in gaps and over his head is going to be problematic. And to say nothing of the fact that the center fielder gets worn down because he runs a ton. I just think it's not a good idea. So we'll see what they do. All right. Let's go into our final break of the day, and we'll come out, and we got sound off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be faithful.
Got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
All right, time for sound off. 610-771-9705 is how you get in the sound off line. When you got something to say, hit us up, leave a message. We listen to all the messages. You may be a big star on sound off. Let's go.
I remember as a young kid wearing my Broad Street Bullies number 174-75 t-shirt with pride. This Philadelphia Flyers team is abysmal. How can they quit on not only themselves but the fans? These Flyers ought to hide their heads in shame. Disgusting.
Well, speaking of fans, we didn't really hear much post-mortem fans. I guess we're all good in Flyerville. Yeah. Just happy to go into the offseason and wait for next year.
How are they allowed to do that, Mike? They have this kind of year and nobody's upset
amazing.
About it?
Nope. I guess not. I mean, benefit of the doubt, I go, okay, they just walked out on the season weeks ago and they don't even care anymore. But you're right. Any other team? Oh, my God.
With a season like, look at the...
Yes.
People get mad when the Sixers don't win by enough.
Yep.
How can they only win by three, Mike?
Yep.
The guy the Phillies should be targeting and targeting now is Chris Bryant. And not to play third base. Chris Bryant can play all over the place, including center field. He's serviceable there. And that is the position of need. Add Bryant and mash the ball.
Yeah, but where do you get that he's serviceable? He's played three games in center field. He's serviceable? Come on.
The real problem with the Sixers, let's say his whole name, it's Ben Lazy Ass Bum Simmons. That's his name, and he sucks, and that's why they're not going to win, because he sucks.
Wow.
That guy's been mad at Ben.
Yeah.
All season long. What do you think Ben did?
Yeah, you need...
It's got to be personal.
Yeah, come on, man. You need to...
Breathe.
You need to take a breath. You need to get some counseling, and you know, because that's unusually over-the-top bad.
Especially for a guy who's never... Ben doesn't say anything offensive. Like, there's no way he said something to the guy.
Yeah, he doesn't suck, okay? He's a star-caliber player who just doesn't happen to do one thing.
Yeah, I know why there's a bunch of people down on the Sixers. It's because during the process, when the Sixers were losing, everybody was able to check out and become Warriors fans and LeBron fans and KD fans. So now as they see the Sixers succeeding, they don't know how to act.
I don't know. I just think it's a...
No, I think there is something to that.
Yeah.
I think there's some people whose brains never got recalibrated after the process. And that was one of those unintended consequences. You had guys that for years were half-watching and not, and now they don't really... Yeah, I think that they're... It's going to take still a couple more years away from the process to get everybody back all the way dialed in with their sports fandom.
The problem is that talent's talent, man. You use your own eyeballs and you go, this team is pretty
eyeballs
good.
Eyeballs are broken. They watch Tony Rowland. They don't know of talent.
Come on.
They were loving TJ. They were loving TJ.
Or broken, and then things change, don't they?
Well, for some.
how much you think Sean McVay must be banging his head against the wall because Aaron Rodgers didn't announce he didn't want to go back to the Packers until so late in the offseason. I would think the package the Lions got would have gotten Aaron Rodgers. Think of all the first-round picks and everything. Plus Jared Goff, the Packers would take that.
Well, the way it goes Packers sometimes.
Packers would not have taken Jared Goff back.
And Packers aren't going to take anybody.
They want picks back. They don't want to trade them, but they're going to have to.
We'll see what's up with this.
If the Nets considered putting Durant on Embiid, I think that's suicidal. Just the pure getting worn out on the defensive end. You're going to have to body him up, and Embiid would just wear him out, especially down low.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. That was referring to a call that yesterday suggested that.
Tim Tebow is making a comeback into the NFL as a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, remember, he teamed up with Urban and won a national championship at Florida. So you got to give the guy credit for perseverance.
He teamed up with him as a quarterback.
I would say no.
In college. You know, this is like, because they teamed up, and he's going to play tight end, does that not mean there's going to be instant success or success at all? So let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of summer.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets off.
Alrighty, that was sound off. And that's the fine show. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Stay tuned. Devon Givens will be in next. I'll lead you right into Sixers and Pacers on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight. And on NBC Sports Philly, American Ninja Warrior precedes the Sixers game at 8:00. And what's the story with the Outsiders?
We're on tonight.
You're on tonight, right?
We're on tonight.
Okay, all right. So it's there's no
pregame and all that stuff.
Oh, there's pregame and everything.
O'clock.
Okay, all right. So stay tuned for the pregame and stuff and postgame and Sixers Outsiders after the game. American Ninja Warriors will proceed. All that. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.